Go. Head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head on with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bycod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. And here we go, off and running for this Friday on the front porch, the 22nd day of May 2020. It is Memorial Day weekend. That means there are a lot of people in this country who will be going out of their tiny little minds and doing things that they ought not be doing in the middle of a pandemic. While out today, the air conditioning on and the recirculation going, driving around just to survey the scene, I saw plates from New Jersey, Pennsylvania, Ohio, Georgia, South Carolina, Florida. You know what? You know what you see this time of year that I did not see today? Plates from Canada. Because the Canoodlians are way smarter than to come down here right now. But, yeah, it's going to be a busy, busy weekend in my little tourist county. And our COVID-19 numbers will probably shoot for the stratosphere by the time this miserable holiday weekend is over. Hi, I'm Bob Kincaid, little ray of fucking sunshine for your Memorial Day weekend listening pleasure. Yes. Sorry, I was a little bit late to the microphone. Because I was trying to sort out some of the other technical issues that have bedeviled us, and I think I may have done it. We'll find out. I hope I have. Now, it remains to be seen whether I was successful. But every program here at the Horn, it begins with gratitude, and this program is no different. You know, we entered the program with basically a $600 fundraising hole Wednesday, Thursday, and today. And thanks very kindly to Joan. Joan did have a show on me that wiped out Wednesday, and so that leaves us with yesterday and today to finish. And I can happily announce that there is a fuck Trump, fuck the coronavirus, fuck the anti-maskers challenge, courtesy of Chris in Germany, on the table to finish out the week. And if that challenge is met, we will have actually finished the week, and that will be tremendous. So thanks to Joan for the have a show on me. Thanks to Chris for the challenge. Thank you to our 22nd day of the month subscribers. That would be Felicia, formerly of Nebraska, now in Southern California. Bill in Florida. Thank you to Tirani. Thank you very kindly to Mike in Cascadia. Thank you to an anonymous friend. And getting us started this evening and taking us down to 190 to go to meet the challenge is Lady B. About an hour ago. Thank you, Lady B. Thank you so very kindly indeed. So that sets the stage for, you know, a minor-ish, but still somewhat miracle-ish, Friday on the front porch community-made miracle, and hopefully we'll be good to go. As far as programming note, I haven't made any overt plans to. There we go. Yep. Okay. So now we got $90 to go on. Thank you to our anonymous friend. We got $90 to go on Chris in Germany's challenge, so we're getting closer and closer. Program note. Oh wait, before the program note, happy birthday wishes. Our buddy Randy in PA is celebrating a birthday today. He tells me he is. Today he is Randy 6.3. So congratulations and many happy returns. Randy, even though you can't be out and have a big birthday party with cake and ice cream and noisemakers and things like that, and I suspect you don't want the clown anyway, but happy birthday, and thanks for being such thank you for being the part of the community that you so delightfully are. Thank you very kindly. Now, program note. It is the Memorial Day weekend. Monday is a holiday. I seldom take Monday holidays. I probably won't take this one either. Oh, hi, I'm Bob. But there's a chance. There's a chance. Because if we get a break from the weather, I might, Agnes might not even be able to get me in out of the yard with a cattle prod come Monday, if it's beautiful. If not, I'll be here. So that'll be what do we call those? Those will be a game time decision. And hopefully you'll understand if I'm not. And I'd say the odds are about 80% I will be, because the forecast is calling for thunder showers. But this time of year is that time of year when clouds pile up and it may or may not rain. If it does rain, it's going to be a real event. But if it doesn't, it's just going to be a partly sunny, partly cloudy kind of day. So that's where things stand with the program. Usually this time of year, this holiday weekend, when I sit to do the program on Monday, on the Monday part of the holiday, it's just motorcycles all day long. The roar of loud Harley-Davidsons just constantly down the little road, because this is an integral part of the trip across the mountains that eventually takes bikers for their Memorial Day rally in D.C. Apparently that is not going to happen this year. No. I'll probably be here. Hard to say. Hey, thank you to Labor Man. Thanks, Labor Man. Thanks tremendously. Labor Man says, you got it, did. So Chris's challenge is met. I don't think that's ever happened this fast in the program. But, yeah, 11 minutes into the program, we are... The community-made miracle is accomplished. Oh! And funding is met for the week. So thank you one and all week long, all months long, all decade long, all years long, who have kept this program on the air. What else? What else? What else? We took care of it. No, that's not. And thank you to Henry. Thank you, Henry, very kindly. That gets us started on Monday. That's even awesomer than I could have imagined. I'm trying to think if there's a... No? Okay, Randy checked the weather for us. Only a 5% chance of rain for me this holiday Monday, according to Yahoo Weather. But we do have the thunderstorm symbol. And just a reminder, courtesy of Lee in New York, and thank you, Ralphs, for jumping in. Thank you very kindly. Lee says, I know you're aware of history. For anyone who does not know, Memorial Day was Decoration Day, because the greatest war death total of people who called the United States the place of their birth, to include North and South, remembering the many dead people, were acknowledged by placing flowers at the graves. Well, the U.S. has many dead to acknowledge on this Memorial Day. It's likely that the official COVID-19 tally will exceed 100,000 before the original calendar placement of Memorial Day, May the 31st. Yes. And we've got, for the most part, one person to thank for it, if thank is the appropriate word, and it isn't. And we know who that person is. And we know what a blight he is on our body politic. Reminder. And that we will gather together in the old holler tree that we sublet from the Keebler Elves here in fairly short order. If you'd like to be part of the Friday on the Front Porch conversation, I encourage you and to jump right in. There's a big banner at headon.live. Just go there and click the button, and it'll take you over the river and through the trees to the old holler tree, wherein we keep the extraordinary, ordinary roundtable that we sublet from the Keebler Elves. And we'll gather together and see what's on folks' mind as we finish out the week. And there, by the way, there's a, I guess this had to happen sooner or later. Because, where'd it go? Oh, there it is. Yeah. Like I said yesterday, it seems like there's one a day of these maggots losing their shit about wearing a mask. Yeah. Let me lead off with that by noting something that Sparky sent along to me. It comes from an actual nurse on Facebook, and it deals directly with the issue of masking. The woman who posted its name is apparently Beth Perky. Good Lord. If I hear one more ill-informed drama queen whine about cloth or surgical masks causing profound lack of oxygenation, I'm going to pass out, and it won't be due to severe hypoxia or CO2 poisoning or, like last night, carbon monoxide. It'll be because my eyeballs have rolled so far back into my head that I've completely lost consciousness. One gets the idea that this woman has lost all sense of patience with the maggots. You do realize that surgeons and circulating nurses in the OR have worn surgical masks for entire shifts their whole careers, right? If there's one group of people that you don't want becoming hypoxic, it's the people holding power tools and scalpels over an anesthetized human being with their insides hanging out. Surgical masks and their effects on oxygenation have been studied for decades. Except in rare instances of people with obstructive airway diseases, surgical masks and, by proxy, cloth masks do not cause any problems whatsoever with adequate respiratory gas exchange. See, she's even using the sciencey words, too. But not lest there be any remaining confusion, she continues and says, you know why? Because surgical masks and cloth masks aren't really filtering anything, including oxygen or CO2. That's right. They aren't respirators like the N95 mask, which is filtering. Surgical and cloth masks serve one purpose, and one purpose only: to minimize droplets, which can carry bacteria and virus from A, leaving the immediate nose-mouth area of the mask wearer, and B, from landing on the nose-mouth area of the mask wearer. That's it. That's all they do. That's why they're recommended for the general public, to help minimize the spread of infectious droplets. N95 masks are totally different. They're actually meant to filter, so they do restrict normal airflow. That's why they're not recommended for the public. If you're wearing an N95 mask around town and feeling short of breath, switch to a surgical or a cloth mask. Simple as that. all of these hysterical masks are tyranny people running around saying that cloth surgical masks cause hypoxia are suffering from self-induced anxiety-related hyperventilation that is completely preventable if they just calm the fuck down and stop looking for some made-up reason to feel oppressed by the man. You want other people's infected droplets flying at your face because you've been brainwashed to believe the false narrative that you're not breathing properly in a cloth mask? Fine, don't wear one. But if a business actually realizes that this action puts others at risk because now your possibly infected slobber is also spewing out into the faces of other people who are following reasonable guidelines to protect themselves and others by wearing a cloth mask, don't stand on your wobbly soapbox and whine about their decision to refuse service to your ignorant ass. Cloth and surgical masks don't cause problems with breathing for anyone without an obstructive airway disease or with normal facial anatomy. Period. End of discussion. Stop the hysteria, and you'll breathe fine with one on. That's a hell of a lot gentler than these anti-mask assholes deserve. And that, in turn, brings us to the now gone viral mask freakout video and audio. Yeah, as Steve notes in New York, someone has used up all of her fucks. Awesome. And she has no more fucks to give. Yep. So now maggots freaking out over masks.
Yes, please.
What was that? Were sheep? Thank you for coughing. Bye.
Now, that's a Becky. And she's apparently checking out at a UPS store or something. She's not wearing a mask, wearing like a little camisole top and shorts or whatever, got great big sunglasses on, got her hair pulled back, just to, you know, theater of the mind, paint the picture for you, and calls the people behind the counter wearing masks sheep, and then deliberately coughs on them, at them, you know, engaging in bioterrorism.
Yes, please.
What was that? Were sheep? Thank you for coughing. Bye.
Hey!
Baby's over here. Move. Wow.
She's coughing on him.
Wow.
She's spitting on him.
That's this is now a maggoty thing. So we got the coughing lady in a UPS store. We got another woman coughing in some sort of restaurant, and now we're coughing at an essential worker in Wally World.
Oh, she's spitting! I got it.
All we need is your name. That's all.
Happy
as
hell.
Happy as hell. You will get your money back.
When?
Like, not for the pay.
You ain't coming in though. I know that much.
No, there we go.
Becky decided to slap a worker at a crowded doorway and is lucky to still be among the living.
You refuse me service because you're just stupid. You are so stupid.
That was a woman assaulting a clerk at a cash register and trying to knock down the protective barrier hanging from the ceiling that provides a barrier between, well, you know, people behind the counter and people in front of the counter.
I just put you on my 3,000 follower Instagram feed, mostly locals.
Hi, everyone. I work for Costco, and I'm asking this member to put on a mask because that is our company policy. So either wear the mask
or... And I'm not doing it because I woke up in a free country.
Have a great day.
So you're going to take this card from me.
Sir, have a great day.
Full of stuff.
You are no longer welcome here in our warehouse. You need to leave. Thank you very
here,
much.
Here, you put it on. I'll give you my card.
He's going to put it on right now. Okay?
Hello. How you doing?
Pretty good. I need to turn on
one, please. Where'd you get that mask from?
Well, since we have to wear them and it makes it harder to breathe, this makes it a lot easier to breathe.
Yeah, this maggot genius has cut a hole in her mask over her mouth. Oh, yes, it is. Yes, it is. A reminder from Robert in Australia. Hopefully a lovely morning in New South Wales. It's cricket bat time. Oh, yes, it is.
Cutting it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'll do that, too. Thanks for the advice.
Hi, I have a medical condition that I'm not allowed to wear a mask, and I'm not...
And, of course, we've got Becky from Dana Point, California, that we heard a couple of nights ago at Gelson's. Because freedom.
This morning I woke up in a free country.
It's the greatest country in the history of the world on earth now, today, in the universe, forever under God. Disease-bearing vermin.
Required by HIPAA rules and regulations to okay. disclose that.
Okay, can we shop for you?
So, what does that look like? I have private things I want to get, but maybe I don't.
Oh, yeah, we're back to Becky's private things. Actually, her name is Shelley. Remember, her name's Shelley, and she's a vegan chef and a flat earther. Yeah, I know. Oh, wow, the Costco dickhead actually called into Sam Cedar's show today and took stupid all the way to 11. He claimed the CDC and the media are fudging the numbers. You know, as Stephen New York notes, the Trump-appointed CDC. Oh. You know, it's really funny. These are maggots. These are people who are outraged over a mask and feel like they're being crucified. Just wow. Wow. Lee in New York, breathing into corporations. I'm trying to understand this. If corporations are so important and corporations are so knowledgeable on responsibility that we should deregulate, then when the corporation tells you to wear a mask, you should obey the almighty corporation. Corporations are job creators. Jobs, jobs, jobs. Show gratitude. Do what the corporation tells you because they're the only reason we have a great economy. Robert in Australia says, I still like the woman in the UK. I like her best. She's the one who wore a Mardi Gras mask that only covered her eyes because she was asked to wear a mask. Because some people just have it hardwired into them to be dickheads. Stephen, New York, subject line, Lysol. I'm going to start carrying a can of Lysol and spray it at them if they do that shit to me. I would suggest pepper spray, but, you know, that's me. Maybe pepper spray's not disinfectant. Lysol will work. Yeah, I'd say. Lysol will work. And referring to our friend in Dana Point, California, our maggot flat earther vegan chef, Lee in New York says, Shell E, a true shell of a maggot, completely hollow. MAGA Maskers, Jack in Shreveport says, if somebody pulled something similar in magnitude to what these maggots are doing on an airplane, they'd be dragged off to jail unless, you know, IOKIYAR, maybe. And that's sort of what I'm still trying to figure out how it is these people manage not to get arrested. And then there's something that Eileen in New York told me about via Twitter last night that I found thoroughly and completely horrifying. It was posted on a local message board in the greater New York area. And this is, you know, genuinely horrifying. A person was walking on 2nd Avenue in Manhattan, saw a group of four policemen near their cruiser. Not one of them was wearing a mask, and when the person asked why, they said, "We're free people and we do what we want." I didn't know that the NYPD had become such a haven of anarchy. Ay, ay, ay. And as a, just as an addendum to the idiot that called into Cedar today, the Costco asshole, Steve in New York tells us, the guy said he gets his information from, wait for it, InfoWars. Surprise, 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 not. Meanwhile, a note, I'd like to thank that nurse who has no more fucks to give. My late mother was a retired nurse. I'd like to think that my mama would smack the taste out of every last one of these idiots' mouths. There are still taste buds in Delaware County, Indiana, wearing the fuck, where the fuck I am 50 years later. These people think it should be arrested and prosecuted to the fullest extent of the law. Let them cool their heels in the drunk tank over the Memorial Day weekend, and then the courts can deal with them on Tuesday when they reopen. That from our buddy Dave, safely back home in the blind. Well, it had to happen sooner or later. Bob, stop telling us what the anti-maskers need to do to get arrested. Thank you, Billable Rick. Thank you. You restore my faith in the community. Well, that sounds like fun. Lee says, you can buy a Harry Potter face mask that reveals the Marauder's map as you breathe. I solemnly swear that I am up to no good. Okay, let's see if this clip ends with our pal Shelley.
I want you to see.
For you, but I can't let you in the store without a mask.
Okay, so where's the regulations that state that?
The regulations?
Yeah.
That is company.
Because you're discriminating against me now. Do you know that?
I'm
you're discriminating against
that
me.
We can help you.
No, because okay. I have private stuff that I don't want you to see.
Then you can call corporate office, but I can't help you.
Okay, well, you guys can get a lawsuit because you can't.
Yep, it ended with Shelley. But there are more. We didn't even get to Genevieve Peters. We had her a couple of days ago. Yeah. God, they're stupid. And deliberately so. And here's a little piece of audio that just begs to be run. This has got a sting. Lindsey Graham is in real trouble down in South Carolina. His former financial backers are running away from him in droves. Mm-hmm. And now there's a super PAC ad called Lindsey Must Go, you know, back home to the family estate at Smoldering Chode, where he can hide underneath the fainting couch and reach out periodically for to have his mint julep freshened. You understand? That's how that all works there, yonder. Yes. The Lindsey Must Go pack produced the ad. You don't need the video for this. It's Lindsey then and Lindsey now. And the picture of his hypocrisy could not be more clear, even with audio only. And by the way, in case you were wondering, Naked Radio today. Uh-huh.
I want to talk to the Trump supporters for a minute.
I think he's a kook. I think he's crazy. I think he's unfit for office.
You've been a damn good president. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. And thank you more than anything else for putting up with the never-ending bullshit you have to go through.
He's a jack. Every time I turn around, I'm being asked about Donald Trump, saying one dumb thing after another, and I'm tired of it.
President Trump deserves a Nobel Peace Prize and then some. He's a race-baiting, xenophobic, religious bigot. No, I don't think he's a xenophobic, race-baiting, religious bigot.
I've never known an impeachment trial without a witness. That's frankly not fair.
I am clearly made up my mind, so I don't need any witnesses.
Yeah, well, boo yourself.
Trump's the best scoffer.
So I don't give a shit.
over our dead bodies.
If you don't like what a politician's doing, fire them at the ballot box.
It's this guy, Lindsey Graham. He's one of the dumbest human beings I've ever seen.
The Lindsey Must Go Pack or LMG Pack is responsible for the content of this communication.
And just for the sake of clarity. Hi, Clarity. That is an unpaid ad placement. We were not compensated for that in any way, shape, form, or fashion. Speaking of which, I've got my absentee ballot. And I know this may sound a little Alex Jones. Hey, Agnes, could you bring me my absentee ballot envelope, please? It's back there in the house, but I want to share this with you because this is my first experience with an absentee ballot, and I'm wondering in states that have just regular, plain, ordinary vote-by-mail programs like California and Oregon, what your mail-in ballot looks like. Because I got mine, and I was getting ready, and you know, you fold the flap over, and you lick the thing, and then, maybe you moisten it. You don't lick it. We're in a pandemic. And you know, you seal it with the ballot inside, and then you sign your name across the line so that your signature is on both the flap and the envelope itself, right? Well, what we have here in West Virginia is just the standard, ordinary, garden variety, everyday absentee ballot. And our primary is going to be a hot mess. Because what's going to happen is all these absentee ballots are going to go in, but we're also going to have in-person voting for the stupid people. And I don't know if the Secretary of State's office is going to release results on election night, but here's the fun part. None of the absentee ballots will be counted until the canvass, which is well after election night. That's problem number one. I guess there's just no way around it. But here is problem number two. The West Virginia Code, section 332, sets forth the requirements for an absentee ballot. And one of those requirements is that the absentee ballot be mailed from outside the county in which the election is taking place. And so that space I was telling you about, where where your signature appears both on the flap and on the envelope itself, contains the following language. I hereby swear or affirm this ballot was mailed by me out of my county of residence. There's not a blessed word anywhere in any of this, not in the instructions, not on the ballot, not on the envelope, nothing, that mentions the pandemic or that there has been any change in the law or the rules or the regs regarding absentee ballots. Now, please bear in mind, just as the Attorney General of Michigan and the Attorney General of Nevada did, or the Secretary of State's rather, they mailed out applications for absentee ballots to every registered voter in the state. And Agnes and I filled ours out, sent it, and then we got our absentee ballots in the mail. And bless their hearts, the envelope is postage prepaid. Thank you. But this is just a generic absentee ballot envelope. And so technically, actually, according to the language on the envelope, if I address this thing and I take it down to my local post office and say here, and mail it back in to the clerk of the county with my signature on it, I'm liable to prosecution. Or at least not having my vote count. And if I, with, you know, that cup of coffee I had in law school, am weirded out by this, and disturbed by this, what is the ordinary, everyday Joe and Jane West Virginian thinking? You know, the other side of the envelope, you have to fill out which election you're voting in. You have to fill out your name, your address, your county, your district, and your precinct. I'll have to find that out. But here's the other wrinkle. Down at the bottom of that side of the envelope, down below where I filled out my pertinent information, there's an area that is marked Challenge of Voter by Registered Voter. And it's a notary block. State of West Virginia, county of blank, to wit, I, your name here, a registered voter in blank county, do swear that the above-named voter was present in this county during the hours of voting in the election and was physically able to vote in person at the polls, signature of challenger, and then the notary block. And the minute somebody does that, your vote is challenged. Your vote stands a chance of not being counted. Maybe, you know, and I'm not frothing at the mouth or anything about this, but there's Republicans are dirty enough as it is. Our Secretary of State is a goddamn Republican. And what you have here by failing, by the Secretary of State failing to address this issue in terms specific to the pandemic, is to set up an opportunity for a great damn big giant humongous rat fuck and Lord only knows what it will be like in November, you know, once the flu starts going around and we're all spiked up with the Rona and everything. But if somebody fills out that challenge, there's nothing about the. So what would you do? Would you add a statement to it saying voting absentee due to pandemic? I've tried to call the Secretary of State's office all day long to try to get an answer. Bupkis. But this is rife with potential for abuse. Ralphs says, My absentee ballot had a space for witnesses, but my post office didn't require witness signatures. And how many ballots didn't get counted in Wisconsin, it turns out? There's just too many ways for a creative Republican rat fucker to screw this over. Yeah, Steve in New York says, at the very least, I would mail it from outside the county or even state. Well, I can drive, you know, it's not that far to drive, say, to Nicholas County or Raleigh County and just take it to the post office there. That way I'm technically in compliance. But if somebody chooses to challenge based on my presence in the county on the day of the plebiscite, well, again, there's nothing here that says they can't. And anytime you don't specifically tell a goddamn Republican they can't do something, and half of the time that you do tell them specifically that they can't do something, they do it. Suman has a question. Cricket bat, says Suman. I must have missed something. What's with the cricket bat? By the way, Australia and India share a healthy rivalry in cricket. So, Robert, after this COVID nonsense is done, hopefully soon, we are on the upcoming T20 World Cup. Ooh, y'all can put together a watch party. That could be a blast. What that has to do with is Robert has proffered a theory that America needs to become a cricket-loving country so that we can carry cricket bats with us. Some of us to hopefully use them for the proper instruction of maggots throwing hissies over wearing masks. That's what with the cricket bat. Billable Rick. Bob, there will be so many West Virginians like you who will vote absentee and won't mail in their ballot from outside their county of residence, so you'll be in good company by mailing in your absentee ballot, and a criminal prosecution would be very unlikely. As to whether your vote would be challenged, I highly doubt that would happen, since many prepaid postage items are never postmarked, so it would be impossible to determine where you mailed your ballot from. I do agree with you that the challenge language on the absentee ballot does set up a high potential for Republican rat fuckery. Good luck in getting any clarity. Hi, Clarity. As to the absentee ballot procedures from your elected or appointed officials, and they probably also won't be responsive enough to solve this problem due to COVID-19. Well, yeah, but here's my larger idea, Billable. Raise these questions now so that they can be answered in case of the general election. Of course, I don't know if you saw Michael Moore is now declaring there will be no election in November. Gee, thanks, Mike. Let's get that planted real good in the body politic so nobody will be particularly surprised when it happens. Jesus. But, I mean, so Billable Rick, Scott in San Diego, Tracy, Roger in Oregon, all our other friends in sane states that vote by mail. What does your envelope look like? Do you have this certification language? Do you have this challenge? Is there a challenge form on any of that there? Or is this just something one could expect to be found in, say, a state east of the Mississippi with a healthy, no, a dishonorable tradition of ballot fucking? In this state, for instance, it has long been said that if the population of Logan County, West Virginia, were to shrink to 2, both would be summarily indicted for trying to sell their votes to each other. A lot of electoral skullduggery down in the coal fields. James in Illinois says, mailing it from outside the state, county, do that and you may have committed fraud. As for the cricket bat, does it stand up against the Louisville slugger? Asking for a friend. Yeah, it really does, because it's got more of a flat surface, so you've got more contact area, and you're less likely to miss. Suman says, "Well, I completely agree with Robert. Then I'm ahead of the game because I own a cricket bat already." Natch never could quite get the rule. I mean, the scores, my God. And people think baseball's complex. Flavio asking a question that I asked a couple of days ago. If Trump's FDA approved a vaccine for COVID-19, would you trust it? Flavio says, I'd wait for a new administration and new regulators, ones that haven't been appointed by COVID Caligula. And you know I'm not an anti-vaxxer. Precisely. My point as well. I'm so not an anti-vaxxer, but this is an administration that has said it would be real groovy if we would shove an infrared butt plug up us and take a healthy guzzle of Lysol. Infrared butt plug. 5:49 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, so there went dinner. You'll have that, I guess. And we're gonna, like I said, I've done some tech stuff with the with my Skype connection, and hopefully I've solved the problem of the ringtone coming in when I'm playing audio. Yeah, hopefully. This is, now, you know, wait a minute. I don't know. I don't know. I take it we're not supposed to. All right. That was Sparky's voice saying who the hell started the call. Yeah, Sparky says the signature is under the flap in California. No, what I was saying is there was some press madness earlier today, and it got rather testy because he's back to... Clorox Claudius is back to claiming that he has the power to override the governors of the several states. That went over like a turd in a punch bowl with the governor of Rhode Island, who said, it's been a while since I've been in law school, but I really don't recall any legal basis for that. And so it made for a bad day for White House spokesliar Kayleigh McEnany, the eternal shame of Harvard University. You'll probably get a kick out of this.
Follow up on the president's announcement. First, just to clarify, he came out and said, I'm calling upon governors to allow churches and places of worship to open up right now. Dr. Birx just said in areas where they have high cases of COVID-19, maybe they should think about waiting a week. So which is it, and why the mixed messaging?
That's up to the governors. As it's said in our guidance, we note that while many types of gatherings are important for civic and economic.
Now, bear in mind, she has just said that's up to the governors. Her own boss says he has the power to override them. Went downhill from there.
well-being. Religious worship has particularly profound significance to communities and individuals, including as a right protected by the First Amendment. The president wants to see these communities open. Dr. Birx was integral to making these guidelines, and they lay out a pretty clear path for faith communities to reopen.
The president said he's going to override the governors. Under what authority would he do that?
Now, remember, this ding-dong, Kayleigh Maganini, has a law degree from Harvard, I think. Under what legal authority? That's the question.
And to your point, he said several weeks ago, this is all up to the governors.
Well, I think you're posing a hypothetical, and I think we can all hope that we see governors.
He would override the governors.
You're posing a hypothetical, though. You're assuming that governors are going to keep churches shut down and keep mosques shut down and keep synagogues shut down. That is a hypothetical question, and we will leave it to these faith communities to reopen.
And said if governors don't
we'll leave it to faith communities to reopen. And, Kristen, I think we can all hope that this Sunday people are allowed to pray to their gods across this country. That's a good thing.
Oh, you stupid! No! Not one person has been prevented from praying to their God during the pendency of the pandonic, the Trump pandemic. Not one. But see, he's trying to curry favor with the religiously insane, the evangelical maniacs and whatnot. When in fact, as David in South Carolina Stan noted, churches are more prone to virus spread than liquor stores. One does not usually find hundreds of people packed into a liquor store singing and shouting and sharing hymnals. Same in women's health facilities. Normally not a big crowd packed in there singing songs and spraying each other with COVID-contaminated droplets. But Kayleigh Maganini, who never fails to show up with a delicate little crucifix hanging around her neck. God, I always think of the late great prophet Bill Hicks, peace be upon him, when something like that comes up.
Well, we're just keeping his memory alive.
What did Bill Hicks say? Yeah, it'd be like having a sniper rifle hanging around your neck and walking up to John Kennedy's widow and saying, just keeping the memory alive, Jackie! But Kayleigh Maganini is probably less of a Christian than I am, and I'm not even remotely a Christian. You're posing a hypothetical. You're saying the governors won't just bend their knee to our God Emperor and open up the churches so their states can get sicker and sicker and sicker.
Thing. And I'd also note there's detailed guidance in here about the way that you can clean your facilities, promote social distancing. So this is something that we should all look at and be thankful that we are encouraging these faith communities to reopen and do so in a safe way. And we'll leave it to
thankful. I'm supposed to be thankful that they want to reopen the faith communities. I mean, we have real-world evidence right here in West Virginia of an African-American faith community that got together for some big shindig. And the next thing you know, people start getting sick and dying. And we know there have been deaths at that mega grift in Baton Rouge. We know that one church in California exposed 180 people to the Rona. Again, as David notes, because they're all standing in there and all cluster fucked up next to each other and spewing droplets as they sing their hallelujahs and their hosannas of praise to the Lord Most High. You know, sharing the virus that he created because he loves us so much. Yeah. That's just great. Hey, thanks to Kat in Ohio. Thank you, Kat. And thanks to Jeremy in Vermont, whose note says, because jumping Jesus. Thank you both. That means we're... we only got $90 to go for Monday. That's just awesome. Thank you, Kat, and thank you, Jeremy. Thank you, Henry. Thanks to everybody who's jumped in this evening. Back to Kaylee Maganini.
Parishes to open in a safe fashion.
Fun yes. Story Kaylee, the president referenced.
Does the White House now support these churches that are defying governors' orders and opening up?
The president's been very clear. He wants churches to reopen. He wants them to do it safely. He wants them to do it in accordance with our guidance. It's laid out very detailed. It's post.
He's never been clear about anything. God, did you catch the quote of him talking about whether he was so addled he couldn't describe the care he's received relative to the virus. Well, you know, I'm positive. It's a positive thing that I'm negative, but that negativity is positive because it's good to be negative. That's almost a verbatim quote. Oh, please, let's just get it over with and let him start telling us about the strawberries. Or better yet, ask it. Could he just walk on, look into the camera and ask us when he's going to get his rabbit? Tell me about the
rabbit, George. Tell me about the farm and the rabbits.
Now, so you can all take a look through it, and he wants to see all of those churches open in a safe fashion.
The governor does not allow that. Does the White House support churches defying these executive orders?
The president's been very clear. He wants to see churches reopen in accordance with his guidelines.
So the answer is yes.
I just gave you an answer.
The no, you didn't.
Would like churches to reopen and do it in accordance with the guidelines.
What specific provision of federal law allows the president to override a governor?
The president will strongly encourage every governor to allow their churches to reopen. And boy, it's interesting to be in a room that desperately wants to seem to see these churches and houses of worship stay closed.
The president.
You know, mate, no, you toxic hypocrite. Hippa-twit. It's crazy to be in a room that wants to see all these churches stay closed. Y'all must not love Jeebus. The room is full of people who don't want to see more people die. Betcha Kaylee won't be in the pews come Sunday. Because she don't want the Rona. And she doesn't want some floor-rolling, tongue-speaking, strychnine-swilling, Crisco-anointing freak. A loving on her and rubbing up again her with the love of Jesus. Whoa! Glory!
Yes.
Kaylee, I object to that. I mean, I go to church. I'm dying to go back to church. The question that we're asking you and would like to have asked the president and Dr. Birx is it safe? And if it's not safe, is the president trying to encourage that? Or does the president agree with Dr. Birx that people should wait?
Jeff, it is safe to reopen your churches if you do so in accordance with the guidelines, which are laid out very...
And they're Christians, and the chances of them following any guidelines are slim, and Slim just rode out of town for Texas. Because, you know, remember the crazy lady from a few weeks back? I'm washed in the blood of Jesus. I'm protected. And in California, they have a mass movement of some, 110 churches that say, fuck it, we're going to reopen. And you know, there's a big difference, as I have learned, my California geography not being very good. But there's a big difference between a church opening up on Sunday in, say, one of those northern counties where there's, you know, more cattle than people, and they got like one case. Big difference between that and opening up the mega grift hall where 1,000 people will be spewing all over each other. Yeah, it'd be great if we had catacombs like they have in Europe. They could just go down to the catacombs. They could have their service in the catacombs. They could all catch it. They could stay in the catacombs and let catacombs do what catacombs do. Subject line, Vermont roads. Jeremy in Vermont says, I swear if it was a little colder today, you'd think it was Black Friday in the greater Burlington area. Way, way too many damn cars. Also, as a side note, our Governor Scott just announced all fairs and similar summer events are canceled for the season. Seriously, thank fucking God. Oh, the cotton candy maggots will be out in force, I'm sure, Jeremy. I ain't free no more. I can't throw ping pong balls at goldfish bowls in a vain and futile hope of winning a little baby iguaner. I know, y'all don't talk like that in Vermont, but you get the idea. Yeah, Lou pointing out the precise and specific language. Wading into the culture wars, President Trump declared houses of worship essential and ordered them reopened without any clear authority to do so. With his briefing, President Trump took the side of some religious leaders against governors who have moved slowly in reopening houses of worship amid the pandemic. Religious services have emerged as flashpoints since states first began restricting large gatherings as they sought to curb the spread of the virus. Now, that would be a great idea, but they didn't get a chance. Albert said a reporter needed to ask Trump if he'll be going to church service on Sunday. Fuck no. He's a germaphobe. He doesn't want to be. He doesn't want to be standing there in the congregation as they all howl and spew and spit and spray onward Christian soldiers marching as to war with the spew of Jesus going on before. There's been enough mentions of the word spew that I think we've taken out dinner in the Central Time Zone by now.
Stringent detail here about promoting hygiene practices, and there are 5 bullet points and cloth face coverings. If social distancing is not possible, it's recommended intensifying cleanings, promoting social distance. We lay them out meticulously. So I am thankful that we have a president that celebrates the First Amendment. The same amendment that gives you all the ability to ask me questions is there to have the freedom of worship so imams and pastors can go to their churches, can go to their places of worship, and can celebrate what is a First Amendment right in this country, which is to pray to your God and to practice your faith.
Which you can do without being in the building. That, see, right there, that proves that she's not serious about any kind of religion. Right there, that proves it. I mean, I can't tell you the number of sermons I sat through as a kid where the preacher was speaking to the assembled faithful and said, "Brethren and sistren, I want you to know, the church ain't this building. The church ain't this pulpit. The church ain't in the seats. The church ain't in our vaulted ceiling, nor our bowling alley, nor our water slide, brethren and sistren. The church is us, the people, the blessed flock, those of us who are saved for that great getting up morning. We are the church, not this yard building." But now, no, you don't hear that anymore. Now they're being persecuted. They're getting nailed right in. If they can't spew on each other, like the filthy vermin, disease-bearing vermin that they are.
celebrate that too. I just want to follow up by saying we celebrate that too.
And so certainly we should be thankful that there are guidelines to allow us to re-engage in that behavior.
We're not asking you if the president or people are allowing Americans to pray. That's not the
question.
To
gather in their places of worship, to attend church services, to pray together. And the president has laid out a clear path. The CDC has laid out a clear path for this to take place, for our First Amendment to be exercised in a way that is safe and robust.
Shut up. Hypocrite. I think, isn't that how Tweety Birds would say hypocrite? Ooh, what a hypocrite. Good question coming from Bill in PA. If Jeebus is so strong, why aren't people praying to Roman gods, the ones that they know aren't real? The Greek gods that they know aren't real. The Egyptian gods they know aren't real. Just asking. No good answer for that. None at all. Reminder, says Jeremy in Vermont. We share the same mountain chain. Don't think for one second we don't have hicks up the ass in Vermont. They don't talk much differently than you do. Oh, and yes, people are freaking out that they won't get to see Darius Rucker and a few other big acts. Keep in mind, the acts agreed to this and are refunding everything. Since when do facts matter with, you know, freaks like that? Hey. And one last note before we head over to the old holler tree. Story comes from the New York Times. Headline. And usually when you hear about churches being burnt in Mississippi, there's a racist aspect to it. Doesn't appear to be the case here. It's the first Pentecostal church in Holly Springs, Mississippi. And, you know, those Pentecostal churches are truly the ones where you get the sure enough, no kidding, floor rolling, serpent handling, tongue speaking, Crisco anointing, virus spewing, hooting and hollering kind of behavior. Yeah. A note found at the scene where the church burnt. Said, "Bet you stay home now." And of course, there's massive outrage. Nicholas Bogle Burroughs, writing for the New York Times. The burning of a church in northern Mississippi this week is being investigated as arson because of a spray-painted message at the scene that seemed to criticize the church's defiance of coronavirus restrictions. First Pentecostal Church had sued the city of Holly Springs, Mississippi, about an hour southeast of Memphis, I know exactly where it is, arguing that its stay-at-home order had violated the church's right to free speech and interfered with its members' ability to worship. Yeah. The full message said, "Bet you stay home now, you hypocrites."
Ooh, you hypocrites.
Only it was spelled H-Y-P. They got the Y part right, which is surprising. H-Y-P-O-K-R-I-T-S. An A inside an atomic symbol, which is used by atheists. This, of course, triggered outrage on the part of Colonel Governor Taint Reeves of Mississippi. "I'm heartbroken and furious. In Mississippi, a church was just burnt to the ground. They had been trying to open services. There was graffiti on the lot which read, 'Bet you stay home now, you hypocrites.' What is this pandemic doing to us? We need prayer for this country." Yeah. Sure. Of course, the irony in all of this is that there's at least a marginal chance that people in Holly Springs, Mississippi, will now be less likely to be killed by the coronavirus because one less vector of transmission exists within their midst. But now the question that I want to put to Sparky and the other California IANs. Hey, Sparky. Sparky.
Hey, Bob.
There you are.
Got to give me a chance to mute. You changed the tech of the Skype thing or something.
Well, I'm using using a different device.
Oh, okay. Because it used to be when we started a call, we could talk, and you were potted. You had us potted down or something.
Well, yeah, I was potted down, and but you were always potted down, even on the other. I don't know.
You heard me say who the hell started the call?
Yeah, and that was because it had tech talk with Bob and Sparky off in the weeds. That was because it had spontaneously changed from Bluetooth over to the speakers on the tablet. But once I go to Bluetooth, it's not quite the same. But what I wanted
sound different.
Really? Better? Worse?
You're not so clear. You're more a little bit more muffled.
Huh. Odd.
Just a tiny bit, you know.
Okay, but it's
go
not.
Go ahead. Ask me the question.
Does Gavin Newsom have the courage to try to shut these fiends down who are going to make the virus run like wildfire through infected communities? Or is he just going to sit there and let Donald Trump pretend that he ordered Gavin Newsom to let him open up?
Oh, I'm sure they better, in L.A., they better not open up.
Well, I mean, there are churches in L.A. that have plans to open up. There's 110 churches throughout California who are swearing be damned that they will open up on Sunday and have services and be spewing all over each other.
Well, there's a lot of shit going on in all kinds of different counties up here. At least my county's in a phase two reopening.
Yeah.
And we've got a testing deal going on. But so far they've tested about 1,000 people in my county, 65,000. But it runs every day. You have to call to get an appointment to go and get tested, but they were testing, and it's down in Corning right now, which is the other big major city in the county. And then it'll move back to Red Bluff, but
particularly in places, you know, big cities or high population density areas like the Bay Area or the greater L.A. area and down the valley and stuff like that.
They should be under different restrictions.
Right. I think they are. James, who's in Illinois but has spent considerable time in California, said, oh, fuck yes, Gavin Newsom has the courage. But what'll that look like? I mean, do you preemptively send out the National Guard? And you know how much howling and carrying on and self crucifixion and pissing and moaning and martyrizing it comes out of that.
Well, as you've seen before here, it'd be up to the county sheriff, I think, and the health department, and that didn't work in Shasta County. And it definitely something went sideways in Butte County and that Palermo church.
Yep. And so as I noted, places like Modoc and Siskiyou and Butte and even Tehama.
Well,
Tehama there.
Modoc is the most sparsely populated county in the state.
Right. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's a distinctly different thing from, say, having that, you know, Crystal Cathedral in Garden Grove, California, asshole to elbows with Christians.
Yeah, up where my stepson used to live and stuff. I don't even remember seeing a church there. We got a real nice bar called Roundup Saloon.
Where was that cowboy church you used to talk about?
Oh, that's right down the road from me. It's across from the butcher shop.
Oh, okay. Where the ghost pepper cheese came from?
Yeah. It's just
okay.
It's right next to the AmeriGas filling station, for propane and stuff.
Yeah.
I don't remember what the building was before that, but I never forget. I drove by that one day and it said, "Future home of Cowboy Church." And I went, "Oh, what the fuck?" I could drive by there Sunday and see if anything's going on, but that's about as far as I'm going.
Yeah, don't get out of your car. Don't get out of your car and don't roll down the windows. I'll probably go out Sunday morning myself here, just to
I had to venture out twice this week. Once for my 6-month checkup at the doctor's office, with a doctor who's leaving, and she's heading to Nebraska. And I said, "Oh, great! There's a lot of COVID back there." So my next 6-month checkup, I get a new doctor. But to get in the clinic, you're greeted at the door with a gal all masked up and everything, and she's got one of those temperature thermometer thing that she shoots at your head, And you better be wearing a mask, or she'll say, "Do you have a mask?" And if somebody says no, they'll give you one. You better put it on. But then they read off a list of all the your symptoms and stuff, and then they'll let you in the building. Yesterday, I went in for my knee grease job, and everybody in that office is all masked up, too. So made me feel comfortable going out, and not like the grocery store, because there's about 10-15% of the people, all the grocery store employees are masked. There's about 10-15% of the shoppers you see in there that are wearing masks, and the rest aren't.
Because it's not mandatory where you are.
Well, they have a sign there that said, we wish it's something that to the effect that you should wear a mask, but I don't know who reads it, because you walk in the door and they've got signs and they got shit on the, things on the floor, 6 feet separation and that thing when you're in the checkout line, and they've got a guy, the person that all they do is sanitize groceries carts.
Yeah, we've got a guy doing the same thing at Kroger's. Not so much sanitizing going on at the Wally World, because they provide some little they provide little towelettes where you can do it yourself.
Yeah, I saw a mask online. There was a black mask and a guy was wearing it. It said, "Only morons don't wear masks," and it's written on the mask. I said, I gotta get me one of those. I'm looking all over the internet for one and I can't find it.
Well, if you find it, email me the link, because I must own that. That would be perfect.
But other than that, it's a cool day today. And my black bovine neighbors moved in last Friday night.
Oh yeah. The cattle
they stayed about a week.
Cattle came to the ranch and then off they went.
And he's moved them to the next pasture now. So now, with the wind blowing, I'm getting the subtle bouquet of Odie cow flop.
Oh, beautiful. The smell.
It's just subtle.
The smell.
Not real, it's overpowering.
The smell.
That time of year again. It's a reminder.
Well, the sun's out and it's drying them up. And once they dry up, they don't stink anymore.
Then you can also chuck them once they dry up.
And you can burn them.
There you go. Fuel. Biofuel.
Yeah, leave it to the kid. Leave it to the kid raised in Iowa to talk about the cow chip tossing.
There you go. Although I must say, I've never been in one of those contests.
You ever been?
They're sort of like frisbees.
Once they dry up enough, he floods the field again, and then they just disintegrate.
Mm-hmm.
So much for Dinner in the Central.
Yeah, Dinner in the Central just took it on the chin, Chris.
People need to learn they can't eat during the show. I mean, geez, you know, for fuck's sake, right? Yeah.
Well, it's like a rat
I trapped the other day.
A rat?
A rat. I trapped a rat the other day. So I threw him out in the pasture, and it was only about the next day, there's a vulture just right on him, cleaning him up.
Thanks for the snack, Sparky.
Vulture sitting there. That's Sparky. He's a great guy. He's good for a rat every now and then.
Yeah, well, every time I get one, I throw him out in the pasture for the vulture.
So you stopped electrocuting them?
Cycling.
Huh?
You stopped electrocuting him?
Well, I got some snap traps, plastic snap traps, and put out all over the place because they couldn't find the electrocution chamber that often.
Stupid, well, stupid rat.
Bob, stop telling us how stupid rats are.
Yeah, I know. Thanks, Billable. Yeah. Well, you might find this interesting, Billable. That church that got burnt down in Holly Springs, Mississippi, had filed suit against the city, and the case was actually heard and judged already. The New York, this is surprising in that it happened in Mississippi. The New York Times report says, in a blistering opinion filed last week in response to the lawsuit, Judge Michael P. Mills wrote that he feared that the church was, quote, proceeding in an excessively reckless and cavalier manner and with insufficient respect for the enormity of the health crisis which the COVID-19 pandemic presents. So he told them, he told them to go and trump themselves.
Right.
And, you know, it's like, it's like Steve in New York pointing out, he said, whatever my issues with the Roman Catholic Church are well known, but still, everywhere from St. Patrick's Cathedral to my parish church are holding masses on Facebook or other online portals. I've even seen Orthodox churches and evangelical churches closed here. Seriously, Bob, I have to ask again, why do these people we always talk about consistently act so much differently? Well, because they're special. Because they're privileged. Because they live in what Carl Sagan called a demon haunted world, and they gotta be, and they gotta be in their buildings, or else the demons will get them.
Right, there you go. That's right. So the villagers came with their pitchforks and torches and burned the church down. Is that what happened, Bob, or what?
Yeah, and apparently tried to lay it off on the atheists.
Oh well.
And the head of American Atheists said this was a despicable and heinous act, and when we're disgusted.
Well, I mean, if the church is having services and they're being disease vector, you could look at that as a public nuisance, and burning the building down isn't all that bad. That's
well, as long as there wasn't anybody in it and nobody got hurt, that's exactly what it was.
Exactly.
It was the elimination of a public nuisance. And a vector for the disease. I mean, it is literally true that because that church burnt, fewer people may die in Holly Springs, Mississippi.
There you go. The utilitarian act, Bob. It's basically the best good for the greatest number of people.
Yeah,
you know?
Is that Jeremy Bentham or Hobbes or Locke or one of those guys?
I think it was Bentham. Yeah.
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 But see, that won't happen though, because this is where the ecumenicalism will kick in, and some other grievance-filled house of worship will say, well, y'all can have, I tell you what, we'll let y'all have your floor rolling, strychnine swigging, snake juggling, Crisco anointing service 2 hours after we're done. Y'all can use our church because Jesus loves us all.
You're right, Bob. That'll happen.
Wait. Everybody sing. Jeebus loves the little virus, all the viruses of the world. Yeah.
There you go.
I'm not singing, Bob.
I don't blame you. Bob,
you're a good tenor, I have to admit. But what I like about Bob is your funny voice is you got the best collection of morons in the back of your mind. Or I don't know where you keep the voices, but you've got one with a speech impediment that just made me laugh so hard.
Are you talking about the it didn't cut the tooth in?
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, and he can't pronounce his THs. But you gotta add a little stutter to it and elongate it for like another 30 seconds and make it really funny. But that'd be the voice for the albino kid in Deliverance. You know,
Jesus.
He never talks. Sorry. But I mean, that sounds really cruel. I mean, you know, birth is kind of like a crapshoot. You're either born stupid or really smart. I'm so glad my parents had good genes for smarts.
And you know who else had good genes, Otto?
Who?
Henry Ford.
Oh shit! He made a comment about that, didn't he?
Yeah.
About good bloodline, and he didn't visit the flood damage that same day.
No, of course not.
Yeah. Well, those are poor people. We don't need to worry about them.
And so,
They didn't have any helicopters there for him.
So Bend the Ark Jewish Action issued a statement today saying that that Clorox Claudius's remarks about Nazi sympathizer Henry Ford. By the way, Adolf Hitler called Henry Ford the single great man of the American Union in Mein Kampf. Bend the Ark Jewish Action said it was yet another dog whistle to white nationalists. Well, at what point in time do dog whistles? At what point in time do dog whistles become fucking foghorns?
Well, it's kind of surprising that 45 didn't go to see the flood because Midland, which is the town that got flooded, is the international headquarters of Dow Chemical.
Right.
Oh. Well, Bob, have you read Ford's book on the Jew? He wrote one.
He owned and published a newspaper in what, Dearborn, that was nothing but a constant fascist screed against Jewish people.
Yeah, it was like the Julius Streicher thing that he did in Germany. I forget for Sturmer or can't remember the title of it, but he was a notorious Jew baiter. He believed that Jews drank the blood of Gentile children in the Middle Ages.
Yeah, the blood libel, right?
Yeah.
Now Bob's have to break out the Nixon voice.
It was the Jews, Henry. The Jews.
Oh yeah, well, that's perfect, man.
Scott does it well too, actually.
Scott does.
Let me jump in here. The kid at Walmart. The kid that played Deliverance, the banjo, he works at Walmart. He got paid $500, a flat fee. I've seen an interview with him on a doc the other day.
Oh, for that role, okay.
Yeah, the kid that played the banjo, he really could play a banjo, of course. Yeah, you could tell it was him. He just aged like 40 years. Yeah, he pushed his carts at Walmart. Well, they paid him $500.
You know, that film Deliverance really did not help the tourist industry of Georgia back in the
that's the thing. It's about Georgia. You'd be surprised the number of people who don't know that. for instance, at one of the whitewater rafting outfits here, you can go in the gift shop, and I swear you can buy a T-shirt that has written on it, "Paddle faster, I hear banjo music."
I've seen it. That's great, man. Oh, that's hilarious. Oh, I'd like to apologize for entering too soon on Skype. That was me.
Okay, bro. Jesus.
Someone's got their camera on, speaking of apologies.
You will receive 40 lashes with a cat of nine tail made of wet linguine, Otto.
Yeah. Well, I was just so excited, and I didn't realize that I was 10 minutes to 3, and usually start the front porch a little about 5 minutes after 3. So I've been so excited the past couple of days. I finally got fiber optic cable, so now I have the capacity to broadcast if I want to. But I don't know. I don't know what I'm gonna, you know, do. So it's kind of up in the air.
What are you going to do with, like, a John Brivo show?
No, I was thinking of, like, no, it kind of like a stream of consciousness thing where I just go on a rampage, you know, and just talk about, you know, how screwed up everything is.
A verbal rampage. Yes.
And maybe call the show "What Pisses Me Off," you know. But you have to discuss the negative dialectic. When you start looking at society, I can't help but be critical. And is that a bad nature? I don't think so, because I'm always thinking. What drives me nuts is that nobody sees ideology in everything, and the things we buy and the music we listen to. Nobody has that cognition of what is ideology anymore. They just accept it. And I'm like looking at these people, and they're not putting on masks, and nobody studies history, and it's like this. We're in this new age of idiocracy. You know, it just drives me nuts. So in a way, this quarantine's been good for me because I can hunker down and just read books and watch documentaries and think and do stuff, you know, plan.
We never left the old age of mediocrity.
Well,
mediocracy.
Lou has been serving as the Horn Ad Hoc Research Committee this evening. And has not found yet the mask that Sparky was talking about, but has found a couple that are pretty close. One that says, "Don't stand so close to me." And the other that says, "Who left the bag of idiots open?"
Oh, that's good. That's a cowbell.
Speaking of masks, and this may surprise everybody, there is a cabal of people out there that have disdain for people that actually wear masks. It's a thing.
Oh yeah, they're assholes.
I lost a business associate and what I considered a friend yesterday over it. We kind of had a falling out.
Oh no.
Yeah.
Well, go to.
He's a very intelligent guy too. He can fly a helicopter. He can fly a small craft airplane. He's not a stupid man. Uh-huh. But he got offended. It all started when I told him, "Don't come to my house." And he really took offense to that.
Oh, really?
Yeah, man. No. And it's going to cost him because I curate all the maintenance that needs to be done in this subdivision. I call the guy. The pothole in the road, I call the guy. Well breaks down, I call the guy. Well, this particular field of interest, I'm not calling him anymore. Yeah. Screw him, man.
Yeah. If he doesn't respect personal space.
Yeah, and he went into this whole diatribe like how he was a child of God and wouldn't give me a chance to speak. When I wanted to speak, he had to suddenly go jump in a meeting or some shit. You know, fuck people like that, man.
Well, I saw a video today on Twitter, and it was people waiting in line to get into a grocery store, and this guy was insisting that they wear a mask, and this one woman spat on the guy and did imitation coughing just to tick him off.
And, yeah, I do. I was astonished.
You see all kinds of videos like that.
Yeah,
it's crazy. It's sick.
Well, and I mean, okay, for the lawyers in the group, especially the ones, you know, the ones who practice, Billable Rick, Steve in New York, if someone coughs on you like that, can you, as an act of self-defense, punch their goddamn lights out? Or at least slap him till the spit flies in the other direction?
Them. You can probably apply as much force as is needed to get them to stop the behavior. That's kind of a law of self-defense. You can only use so much force as is necessary to protect you or to protect others.
Unless you're in Florida. Unless you're in Florida, in which case...
But in Florida, you can...
Right, unless you're in Florida, in which case you can stand and blaze.
You can do anything in Florida. You can do anything in Florida. Let's not think about Florida there. Let's think about the rest of the normal part of the country, you know?
So if
I
Florida,
can start going to the grocery ground, store with a baseball bat.
Somebody else too, or what?
I mean, hold on. Hey, Tracy.
Hey.
Hey, y'all. So in Florida, if somebody spits on you, is that a stand your ground kind of thing? So can you just blow the brains out? What?
I think probably so in Florida.
Okay. Just, you know.
That's all I wanted. I'm
actually just waking up, guys.
Bodily fluids are a biohazard, so it's an assault just to be spit on, isn't it, Rich?
Yeah, it certainly is. It's criminal assault. Yeah, assault and battery. You could, I would actually probably call the cops and just ask the person to be arrested. That's what I would do. If somebody
That'd be the best way to go.
Got there.
That's the safest thing to do, you know?
By the time the cops got there, they'd be gone anyway, so...
Well, no, you could surround them. You could have a bunch of people that say, look, we're waiting. You can't go anywhere.
Depends on where you are, Rick. If you are
Citizens arrest.
If you're in Orange County, you're probably going to be, you're more likely to be outnumbered by maggots. In Florida, you're definitely probably going to be outnumbered by maggots. So it depends. Hell, you might be, it might be worse.
I think it depends on, Tracy, I think it would all depend on the circumstances. Like if a bunch of other people were there who witnessed the other person spitting on you.
Oh, yeah, that's what I'm saying, you know. Like I said,
they would probably be more than happy to band together and surround the maggot to, you know, until the authorities could come to sort out the situation, you know. But, I think that would be your best bet rather than punch their lights out, because you could always risk going to jail, you know, or shooting them.
I go to jail because it would be I would be the one that would go to jail no matter what happens.
Well,
black
person.
The Viking warrior Pharaoh princess hands this down from on high, seeing as how she's a Viking warrior Pharaoh princess. Agnes says, "Yes, it's legal. It's the bastard had it coming rule. You're welcome."
I love that West Virginia justice, Bob.
So how's everybody doing? It seems like I haven't been around.
Well, you kind of haven't. I mean, we worry a little bit, but figure you just got shit going on, and you know.
Yeah, I have a question for Tracy. Did you finally get your $1,200 Trump money?
Yes, I did get my Trump money. I got it, and I finally got my unemployment. It's finally got approved, and I finally got my EDD card this past Monday. So I'm rolling in it, y'all.
Good.
Oh, Rick, did Zach get his stuff yet?
Yeah, I think he got notification that his claim's been approved, and so he's got to wait for his debit card. What is it, a 30-day wait?
No.
No?
I had it by now.
Really?
Yeah.
I'll have to ask him. So
please do.
So I thought the procedure was you get approved and then you got to wait 30 days to get the debit card.
No.
Okay. What is it?
Once you get, you check your account, once there's money in your, once the month, that's why I'm worried that there's something wrong because he should have gotten it he should have gotten his long before I got mine.
Okay. So the money should be in his account then?
It should have been in his account. And how it works is once the money goes into once you're approved and the money is, once they show you how much money you're entitled to,
okay.
Then the next business day, the money goes into your EDD account for B of A. And then once that money goes in, within 5 days or a week, you get your EDD card. And basically, that's what happened. I finally got approved last Monday.
Okay.
And so then the money, you know, so it takes a business, the next business day, the money went into my account. And then 5 to 7 days after that,
the mailman. And then she was all this time. She was lying in my on my bed, knocked out. But as soon as she hit, it's either the plastic wrapping from cheese, the doorbell or the mailman, and she goes. But anyway, no.
You got yourself a good watchdog, Tracy.
We do. And so then what happens? You get your EDD card. So like I said, I got approved last Monday, and I got my EDD card this past Monday.
Okay, so it's electronic electronic debit card. Okay.
Yes, and okay. Yes, a Visa debit card.
Right.
A debit card.
Right. Right.
So that part. But yeah, no, I have had a lot going on. I've been helping people, get their unemployment. And yesterday, you have ignorant motherfuckers in your family?
Oh, yeah.
People take it to a whole nother level. And so there was this big blow up yesterday about text messages. I don't even want to really go into it. But suffice to say, it drained me. And I just couldn't deal. And so this morning when I got up, have you ever had one of those mornings? You know, I got up, I showered, got dressed, but I just, you know how your body, you know, your mind is saying, get up and start functioning, but your body's like, nah, bitch, lay down. So I literally got up, got showered, got dressed at about 8, 7 something this morning, and I tried to work. And I couldn't. I went back to sleep. So I woke up right before I called in. I've been asleep since I woke up at like 3 o'clock this afternoon.
Well, I guess you needed to sleep. It's a holiday coming up here, Tracy.
I know, but it just doesn't, you know, we do have our hot dogs and we got gourmet hot dogs from, where do we get them from? Omaha Steaks.
Nice.
So I'm looking forward to that and burgers. And my son is going to do a macaroni salad and all that. I've been very fortunate. My family, my son has really been kicking in with the cooking and stuff. Because I didn't go on strike.
Yeah.
But I just kind of like, I you know how you just don't fucking feel like doing anything?
Yeah. Sometimes you got to do that.
Just not do that. So, Bob, you see on our California beaches are reopening.
Yeah.
I'm listening to the news right before I called. And the sheer stupidity, I don't know. I think she might have been in Ventura County. I don't know which, Ventura County. Now they're letting people come into restaurants and sit down and eat and stuff. And this woman's like, well, you know, we need to get out because, you know, it's just, if you stay in your house so long, you're going to get stagnant. And, you know, this is what we all needed and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, bitch, you don't, nobody told you.
Don't talk like that down there.
Yeah. Not really. Well, yeah. I'm like, bitch, you don't have, nobody told you you had to stay in the house.
Yeah.
What part of those? Don't have to stay in that house.
California LA question.
Sure, baby.
For you guys.
All right, go ahead.
You know LA has taco trucks. Uh-huh. I heard the other day that LA has licensed liquor trucks now.
What? No, I hadn't heard that. Rick, had you heard that?
That's news to me. I guess I haven't been out in LA much. I just visited long enough for my son's dog to get attacked by a coyote on Wednesday night.
What?
Yeah. Yeah, she's okay. She's like 15 pounds, and I just left the dog out for like a few minutes, but maybe 1:30, 2 in the morning, you know, to go to the bathroom, and, you know, I went out a couple minutes later, call her, and didn't hear anything, so I figured, okay, that's all right. And then 2 minutes later, the dog, like, got attacked, and I, you know, ran out there screaming, and fortunately, I think my screaming scared the coyote enough to drop, you know, to let go of the dog. And then somehow the dog scampered up the, you know, up the walkway and up to the steps to go up to the back landing, you know, the back porch stoop. And, you know, she was okay, but, you know, there was no blood that I could see, but she was acting weird, like, you know, the next day. So we took her into the vet and they found like puncture wounds just behind her left ear. and on her right thorax, right side of her chest. So she is a very lucky dog to be alive. She's afraid to go out now, unfortunately, you know?
Aww.
Well, hell yeah, she, you know.
Yeah, I've been staying down in Orange County until this past Monday. My son finally got tired of not being able to see me, so I said, okay, Dad, come up and stay for a few nights a week up in L.A.
Was the coyote wearing a red hat?
I couldn't tell. It might have been. I mean, I didn't get a very good glimpse of it. It was almost like a ghostly image because I couldn't see much. It was dark, but it was lighter than the dark background, you know, and it was moving fast. And, you know, it's like an enclosed backyard. It's kind of like an English garden setup. And, you know, there's like five foot fences all around, like on all three sides. And then the fourth side is the back of the house, you know. So it's like, you know, I don't know. It obviously jumps the fences. So I'd seen
it. Or goes under them.
No, I don't think so. I think it's, well, I need to check the fences, actually. But, you know, but I saw one time, like at 10 in the morning, maybe a few years ago, in my backyard, which kind of freaked me out. It's like, wait, whoa, what's that doing there? It's not supposed to be out at that time of day, you know? But yeah, it must have been a coyote. I don't think it was a mountain lion. And I didn't even know the dog had been released from its grip. I thought it went over the fence with the dog. And then when I was walking back to the house to the back porch of the house, I then saw the dog on top of the steps, like shivering. You know, because she was obviously in a lot of shock. But, you know, she's like this apricot Maltese poodle, very sweet dog to us, not sweet to other people. She's kind of a bitch to strangers, you know, kind of like a one or two person dog. But she's going to be okay. You know, it took like forever at the vet. By the way, if you ever have a chance to pay with PayPal when you have to wait like outside for services and they got your dog inside as a hostage, Don't use PayPal because it took like an hour and a half for them to verify that I paid it. You know,
yeah, and we Jesus. Were pissed.
You know, we were pissed. My son, you know, had to go to the bathroom badly. His bladder was kind of burst. He said, "Look, do you have a place back here where we could just take a pee?" And then no. We, you know, it's like, okay, we're gonna leave and come back then. And you know, we almost got to the point where we were gonna just leave the dog there and then come back. You know, maybe the next day or whatever. But
then they would have charged you for boarding.
Yeah, of course they would have. They would have charged us an arm and a leg for the boarding. So, you know,
we had to take Kimba to the vet. Well, not me, Jan and Alex. Because she had been licking her paw and shaking her head a lot. Come to find out, she had an allergy.
Oh, wow!
And she had gotten because of the allergy, gotten an ear infection and something. Uh-huh. So again, like you said, you have to wait in the car, but we have, she's on a plan that I pay monthly for.
Oh.
So, she gets up to like 6 visits a year.
What?
And it comes in, you know, and her checkups, her annual checkup. And that bitch goes to the doctor more than I do. But anyway, and then, you know, and it covers up to a certain amount. And then anything over that, we have to pay for.
Okay.
But with the medicine, because they gave her a shot and all this other stuff, that visit was $300.
Yeah. Well, my visit was $400. They had to give her sedation to like, be able to examine her and find where the puncture wounds were and stuff. And then shave the fur away from where the puncture wounds are. I mean, I'm convinced that the dog probably survived because she had, you know, so much fur on her that the coyote couldn't find her neck very well, you know?
Right.
You know, you just couldn't tell what was fur and what was dog, you know, because it's
how
like...
How far in the foothills are you, Rick?
Oh, I'm just, I'm about a half a mile from the Angeles National Forest on my north and on my south. Maybe a mile down the road, maybe a mile and a half, 2 miles is the Verdugo Mountains. So I'm like between basically the San Gabriel Mountains and the Verdugo Mountains. So it's kind of it's a valley, Crescenta Valley, they call it.
Yeah, no,
so, yeah, I'm, I mean, I take a walk like, you know, nice days. And in the morning, I'll just, you know, walk like three blocks up the road, and that's like the top of the hill. And then there's like an ashram or whatever, some kind of a, you know, Eastern religion kind of place, with cabins and stuff, you know, kind of a very bucolic kind of setting. You see deer up there sometimes. And, you know, if you go far enough up, you see mountain lions. I haven't seen mountain lions, but there are mountain lion signs. So, you know,
at that point, that's when I would turn around. See, this is, again, the difference.
That's what my son would do. That's what my son would do. He's afraid to walk the dog any more than like two blocks up, because then there's a mountain lion sign like right at the 2 block mark.
And I'm turning around. See, because, you know, now that they're opening everything back up in LA,
yeah,
just, you know, stuck on stupid. But, you know where I live off of Balboa.
I know where to find you, Tracy. Yes, I do.
I don't know how to, no, anyway. But there's, you know, Balboa Park, Lake Balboa Park, and there's all these trails along, you know. And so I've been doing the trails, but only early in the morning, because even before they started reopening shit, people, you know, as long as it's early enough, I can still go about my walk.
Right.
And not run into people.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, the later past 7 you get, the more and more people. And now this weekend, this is Memorial. I didn't even realize it was Memorial Day weekend.
Doesn't feel like it, does it?
No.
Well, see, here's y'all's problem. Because y'all are out in that sissy panty waist state, y'all ain't got no gun freedom. If you could just carry a hand cannon while you walking the dog, you could Dirty Harry Clint Eastwood any old mountain lion or bobcat or coyote that come along.
I don't think you can discharge
make my, make my day, time. Cat. Yes, Sparky.
Oh, I do.
Yes, Sparky.
Up in Modoc County, everybody drives around with the Easy Rider rifle racks. Oh, great.
Oh, yeah.
I've come across the mountain lion that's been imported from Southern California. They used to ship them and drive them all the way from Southern California to Modoc County. The deer population thinned out, and the antelope disappeared from Big Valley. They used to run. I mean, used to be able to go up there when my father-in-law was alive, and you drive up to his house, towards his house, and there's an alfalfa field on either side of the road, and there'd be deer and antelope out in the past in the alfalfa field.
When the deer
and the antelope play.
Not anymore. They're all gone. They went somewhere.
So you guys think owning a gun is like a commodity fetish for the redneck? I don't understand what the allure is. Why do you have to have a gun? And I mean, there's this whole...
Because
if you ain't got no gun, you ain't got no freedom.
Oh, God, that's great.
It's in the Constitution.
Yeah. The Constitution.
It's a penis extension.
Yeah, exactly. That's true. Yeah, it's a displacement of the phallus. It's true. The Fashibun des Phallus.
I see you posted some deer pictures, Chris. Or is that your backyard or something?
Oh, nice.
No, my friend down in Amity had a birthday party, a social distance birthday party with pizza and wine.
Uh-huh.
And 10 deer started just hanging out in our yard. It was pretty awesome.
Oh, that is cool.
Yeah.
So you mean rats? You mean rats with antlers?
Oh, I know, Bob. You hate
him. These are all toast.
Wait a minute. Hold up. Bob, you have a problem with deer?
I got a huge problem with deer.
Rats with antlers. This coming from a man that loves possums, but you got a problem with deer. Okay, why?
Ain't no possum ever destroyed $1,000 worth of garden of mine.
Okay. Oh, speaking of garden, Alex started a garden. We're going to have, he put it as cucumber and basil and tomatoes and peppers and chives. let's see, chives, peppers, basil, and it's coming up quick. It's coming up really good. There was just so happens when he put it inside the garden, there was an article in the Daily News, which is the bastard stepchild of the LA Times out here. And so there was this huge article about what to plant in your along in your garden to help with the bugs. And it was about all these different flowers like marigolds and something else that would keep your keep the bugs from eating your vegetable plants. And then they would, you know, and bring in other good bugs like ladybugs and, you know, and bees and stuff like that. So, yeah, so he's very excited about his, I'm looking forward to the tomatoes. Because Sparky, I air fried my first set of air fried bacon the other day.
Yeah.
It brought a tear to my eye. And now I'm looking forward to that first tomato for the BLT.
Well,
and yes, I'm going to put
it wasn't Benton's bacon, though.
No, no, it was. I haven't ordered the Benton's bacon yet.
Don't air fry Benton's bacon. It'll stink up your whole house.
Well, okay. If you consider hickory smoke to be a stink.
No, it was just regular plain old Parmesan bacon. I got another toy, you know, another kitchen appliance. And if Carol Baker is listening, I meant to message her on Facebook, but I got the Foodie air fryer toaster oven.
The fold away one?
Yes. Of course.
Well, see, everything.
Did I hear some hater? Are you drinking the haterade, Bob? Did I hear?
No. I'm celebrating with you, and I'm just telling you, life will really change when the Bentons comes in.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, I think I'm going to order some now because, to tell you the honest to goodness truth, I have forgotten about Benton's bacon. Benton's bacon. I love the internet because I know they listen, and it freaks me out though that, you know.
Well, when you order your Benton's bacon, do yourself a favor and order a ham hock too. They will send it to you. They will send it to you quartered. You know, sawed into four pieces. And if you put that in the crock pot with some beans and just let it go, it'll be heavenly.
Oh, and speaking of food porn, guess what I grilled yesterday, the other day, thinking of you the whole time.
Do tell.
Because I just had to short ribs.
Oh, yummy. Oh, those are just heavenly.
Bob,
when you do them right, they melt in your mouth.
Bob, you know, I'm not a big beef eater. I didn't grow up eating a lot of beef because we didn't have that kind of money. You know, we were a pork tender steak eater, you know, smothered.
Yeah.
You didn't even know not to eat that steak. So I didn't grow up, you know, eating a lot of beef. Conversely, the wife is a meat and taters girl. So, but I did them long, you know, slow and low. In a marinade.
They melt in your mouth.
It was the most wonderful. And they came right off the bone, you know. And so since I grilled them, they weren't as greasy as they would be, you know, because the grease. And it was, you know, I thought the whole time I was thinking about what would Bob do. Now, I meant to ask you how to cook them, but I haven't been around.
I probably would not have been much help because I'm not real good with beef plate ribs. Because you can screw them up in a heartbeat.
Yes, you can. But even I got mad props from the wife, you know, because I had never thought about doing it. And I Googled the shit and there it was. So I found it. But then the my son on today's Friday, on Wednesday, because like I said, we've been getting a lot of stuff from Omaha Steaks. He threw the filet on the grill.
Ooh.
Now you talk about melt like butter.
Yeah. Oh yeah. 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 Oh,
it was beautiful.
Oh, and I figured out, I told you the other day, I'm finished with Bosch, or at least until they do the next season.
Yes.
Next and final season.
Right.
So I'm bummed. But, another one of the restaurants, that El Compadre.
Yes, which is Flaming Margaritas, which they didn't show on the show.
Hey, speaking of Bosch, I watched the first episode of season one, where the murder at Angel's Landing, or Angel's Flight.
That was season one? No, that's season four.
That's what I said, yeah.
My bad, yes.
So I meant to say season four, maybe I said season one, but that's a really good, that was a great episode.
Angel's Flight, yep.
Yeah, I'm watching Hollywood as well a little bit. That kind of started out as a little weird, but it's okay now, you know.
I enjoyed it. I breezed right now. I actually breezed through. Hey Bob, did I send you that text? Did I send you a message yesterday about the TV shows to watch?
Yes.
If you love crime drama.
Yes.
Okay, I sent it to you and Scott. There's some really cool thing. I mean, there's, you know, basically. It was an article of basically, like, if you like shows like Bosch and stuff like that, it was TV shows that are crime shows that are horribly underrated, and the majority of them were on Netflix or Hulu. So I've been in such a foul, not a bad mood, but you know how sometimes you just need stupid and just so. There's this, not so much, but so there's this really cute teen angst dramedy on Netflix, and the producers, one of the producers is Mindy Kaling, and it's called Never Have I Ever, and it's about this Indian American girl, and it is just, it's hilarious, and I didn't know what to think of it, but I found myself enjoying it, and again, it's just, you know, because of what we're going through right now, sometimes it's just fun to be a teenage girl. I'm allowing all the fellas in there to I need you guys to find your inner teenage girl.
And what network?
Netflix. It's Netflix.
Oh, it's Netflix.
I think okay. I found it.
Oh, by the way, Robert in Australia has kindly provided us with an affirmative defense. Should one need to use one's prophylactic cricket bat because you have been coughed on by a maggot? It's cricket bat, whack, and then when the cops show up, you say, "I was trying to help. I saw a murder hornet on their face. It was about to hit their brains."
I was
baby
murder hornet, I think, a few minutes ago.
Oh, you saw the Rona and were trying to swat it. Maybe that's another.
Well, I got my electric tennis racket. I was hunting it.
Darlene is of similar mind with me. Darlene said, I've been thinking the same thing. It's an act of self-defense to fend off a potential virus carrier. Assault and battery.
Hmm.
You know, if they cough on you, they have effectively taken the first swing.
That's true.
And it's an aggressive act, too, and it's intentional.
Back to the bitten bacon. Am I looking really? Does it really say $80 for ham? Wait, what?
That is a whole ham.
Really?
Yeah. Okay. I'm looking. I see the bacon, but I don't know. Maybe I wonder if they have.
I paid like $65 to get 4 pounds delivered.
Okay. Yeah.
I got 3 pounds of it socked away. What's it like eating pork? I haven't had any in like 3 years.
It's heaven.
I know. I used to love bacon, but I gave up on pork. I gave up on red meat too. A little poultry and a little fish, and try to keep the fats down. They did a study on Norway during the occupation, the German occupation in the 40s, and they found that cancer rates went down because the Germans took all the pork and all the red meat. Hmm. My sister died of colon cancer. She was a red meat addict. She loved it. She loved the gristle, the whole nine yards. So, and I don't want to put a pail of concern here in the chat or in the discussion, but you know, it's life is better when you don't eat animals. And I'm not promoting veganism, but it's just, it's nasty stuff.
Well, just remember, Shelley there at Gelson's in Dana Point, California, is a vegan chef.
Yeah, and before you know it, Otto. Before you know it, Otto, you're going to be pushing the flat earther on everybody here in the chat, you know.
No, the vaxxer stuff, but it'll be like really weird vaccines. Don't take the flu vaccine. That's a Bill Gates vaccine.
Well, but you know, Flavio put that question up toward the beginning of the program, echoing something I'd said a couple of days ago. We don't have any anti-vaxxers in this community because we have brains. but the fact of the matter is, when they stood there and said, Mike Esper, the Secretary of Defense, said, "I will deliver a coronavirus vaccine at scale, whether it works or not."
What?
Who's going to line up to take that? Who isn't a maggot? It might be Lysol. I'm not kidding. They can't. These fuckers can't be trusted to get that right.
No, I wouldn't. Even if they came out with a vaccine today, considering the current administration, there is no fucking way.
All we know, they'd be injecting Diet Coke.
No, I asked my doctor.
I had two needles injected into my kneecap yesterday.
Ooh, but cortisone?
No, Orthofisk.
Okay.
First needle that goes in is a numbing compound.
Yes.
Oh, ouch.
And then the Orthofisk goes in next.
Oh.
And I got to go back next Thursday and the Thursday after that. I do that every 7 months now.
What's the treatment for?
Osteoarthritis.
Oh my God.
Yeah, Dan has to go every other.
It's only used in the knee though. You can't use it in the. They won't allow it to be used in the shoulder or any other joint.
Wow. Have you tried Tramadol?
Yeah.
Yeah, but that helps temporarily, doesn't it?
Should. Well, I haven't prescribed to me. My wife gets it.
Oh, okay. Yeah, well, it's usually via injection into the source of the pain. And yeah, it helps, but it's just a temporary fix.
Well, this is a lubricant. I said, like I say, it's knee grease.
Nice.
Well, I hope there's the girls.
Oh, I see. It's a topical thing. But is there like a homeopathic remedy for that, or is there like I don't know. Like my dad was really big into preventive medicine, and he was really big into giving people vitamins. And he used to give me IVs, drip IVs of vitamins, and I felt great for like a week. And I remember I went to the dentist's office, and they looked at my teeth. And they said, "We've never seen teeth like this," and it was because of those drip IVs with minerals too. So, but a lot of people don't. A lot of people thought my dad was a quack. All he wanted to do was prime the pump with vitamins, and it worked. I remember.
Well, I take 200 milligrams of hyaluronic acid every day,
mm-hmm.
which is the same thing as Orthofisk, basically, only it's in a pill form.
What type of drug is that?
It's not a drug. It's a natural occurring.
It's a lubricant.
It's a supplement. Okay. It's a supplement.
Yeah.
So it's a lube, huh?
Well, it's just a supplement. It helps with my elbows, my shoulders.
Yeah, I'm just being awful. I'm sorry.
Has anybody tried CDB as a topical for joint pain? Does that help?
It does. I just can't take it.
There's a company out of California called CBDLiving.com, unpaid product placement, and it's expensive as fuck. But it, you know, I've got
too bad Bernadette left here.
Oh,
she was in here. She makes a salve that's really good, according to John.
Oh wow!
She lives over in Garberville or something on the coast.
Oh, Bernadette, yes.
Yeah. I've got those ruined discs in my neck, and it's been getting worse and worse lately. And consequently, I found this stuff while I was down in Alabama, oddly enough, and they've got a BioFreeze roll-on, and I use it probably first thing in the morning and before bed.
So you guys, I'm going back to, summer school finally starts for me on Tuesday. And I'm taking two classes. One is poli-sci, Black perspective. Another one is contemporary issues in the African-American community. So I had to watch, I had to do some pre-homework already. I hate online classes. But anyway, I had to watch a video, Trouble in the Water. And it was about the Katrina, the aftermath and before about, Hurricane Katrina. And I knew it was bad how my folks were treated. And when I say my folks, I mean Black people, because I really don't have any, I have family in Louisiana, but up in Shreveport. My God, some of this movie both enlightened me and angered me and saddened me and all. I had a whole lot of feels going on watching this video, but it showed the resilience of my folk. But what really hurt me was this woman had videoed the whole thing. She videoed from the beginning, like 2 weeks before Katrina, when they could have gotten everybody out, to, the day of Katrina, and listening to her on her phone calling for help and the 911 operator saying nobody's coming. And she's like, so that means I'm just going to die.
Unreal. The Superdome experience was it looked horrendous.
It's not even, this is before they even got to the Superdome. This is just, trying to, and going, and these were some of the people, I didn't really even know or realize about the naval base situation when they were told to go to naval base is, had all this housing and empty and all this, and they were, guns were drawn on them, they told them to get away, and and when they say, this isn't racial, that part, it was just, I just to hear, Dumb and Dumber saying we're going to give people, the help that they need and all this. And of course, no help came. And it just harkened back to what's happening with the coronavirus now. Cause they were promised $2,000 per household to get, for emergency housing, food and clothes. And of course, people, my favorite part is, you have to prove your residency. Motherfucker, my house is underwater. How am I supposed to prove residency when I have no address anymore? When the only thing I have is the clothes on my back? Do you think I fucking came here just for a funky $2,000 to, And of course, I know there was fraud. There's fraud every time, everywhere. Half and ever. Give people what they need and sort the rest of the shit out later.
Yeah, but Tracy Brownie was too busy doing a great job.
Do you guys remember Barbara Bush's quote? when they all moved into the that was so bad.
Oh, not real.
Wait,
oh,
yes, well, I forget. What is she? What is? What is that? What is
this?
The,
is this
quick
this
old
is,
sky look? Quaker old sky thing.
She said something
cowbell.
About
things are working out for them so well here in Houston. We're afraid they won't go home.
Oh,
oh my God!
This is much better than most of them are used to.
That's it. Yeah, right. It's working out well for them. Yeah, that's what you said, man.
Yeah.
That's how those people think. That's how they think. You know, God, they're so isolated.
Attitude.
Yeah, but they're so isolated. They're in their little rich bubble. You know.
I'm, you know, this class is going to give me a whole, I'm already almost ready to feel triggered because, basically it's basically the class is about, you know, what affects us as Black people and how racism is actually, you know, deadly to our health. It's detrimental rather to our health. And we all know, you know, and aside from the violence, you know, that's easy. We all know about that. But we're talking, you know, Black, you know, access to healthcare, access to decent food, access to education, access to a whole lot of stuff that is, again, you know, detrimental to our health. And so, there's a book. I just got it on. One cool thing about this class is we're not required to buy any of our reading material. It's already basically on, you know, we just read it. But there was this one book called My Grandmother's Hand. And it's about the ongoing and lasting effects of racism on my community. And I got the audio book because I have a membership to Audible. My God, if anybody gets a chance to either go to it on Audible or read it, it's just basically the guy's like saying, if you have a problem with what, you know, talking about the effects of racism on Black people and or Black or brown or indigenous people in this country, then you can't read it. If and we're talking about white people or just Black people in general. Because there's still Black people who still think that racism is an issue. Ben Carson, name your house, your Uncle Tom Negro, you know, insert Auntie Thomasina or Uncle Tom Negro in there. But,
Diamond and Silk, right?
That's it. Thank you.
Oh, did you do your
no. Yeah, that
Diamond?
Would be
did you listen
remember,
to Frangela today?
Remember their name on this program is Paste and Polyester.
Hey Tracy, did you do your homework and did you listen to Frangela this morning?
You know, baby, you need to send me a text message or a reminder because I always forget.
Oh, okay.
That Friday I'm barely able to
they were talking about the backup lack up again. This morning, or it was one of that commercial. They won't let that go.
Which one? I did. What?
Oh,
about?
It's just that, you know, Stephanie says, "Oh, who's my backup and blackup?" And then they chime in.
Oh,
we're here. There's whatever they say.
So they're cooning.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know.
I know you.
They are funny, and they were, and
they are fucking hilarious. I love them,
and they were on point today. Because they were calling out exactly what you're talking about with this COVID, that it's hitting folks that have skin that's colored, you know, darker than what do you
call it? Melanin challenge.
Yeah, the brown paper bag, right?
Yeah,
it's hitting that our community, people of that community, much much harder than anyone else.
Mm-hmm.
And they did a great job. This morning, it was good. It was really good.
Again, like I said, I forget about and I have the station free, that they're on,
Free Speech TV.
Yeah, because I
so
have
if you go to Free Speech TV on you could watch it on online, right?
No, I have it on Roku. It's one of my stations.
Oh, there you go.
on Roku, it's just, again, I always, and I'm awake. I just, you know, I just forget about it. But you guys.
Fridays with Frangela.
Fridays with Frangela. And I missed them because when they were on K-Talk, especially because they used to, they had a their own show. I think it was either Saturdays or Sundays. And I would call in. And we would have a high old good time as long as you can talk on radio without beef. But actually, I used to be able to talk longer than most. They wouldn't cut me off because it was Sunday. So, you know, not a lot of people are listening. But still, I miss them because, they're fucking, they're funny and yeah, they're very intelligent.
Funny. And, very indulgent.
And,
very poignant.
Tracy, I was going to ask you, weren't they at the, I think they were at the Sexy Liberal show just before the 2016 presidential election.
Yes, they were.
Do you remember meeting them there? I think I remember talking to them, meeting them or something.
No, I didn't go to that show.
I guess I went myself there. Okay, because yeah. I met Brad Friedman, you know, the Green News Report, and I met Frangela. I met Stacy. Not Stacy. Stephanie Miller.
Mm-hmm.
I met
Brad Friedman and Desi Doyen at that Netroots Nation that I went to.
Okay.
Because that's how Brad Friedman is how I found Bob.
Well, there you go.
He's the one that told me about Bob over 8 years ago. And then I guess I'm trying to remember which Netroots Nation was that 20. When did I go to that? Bob remembers more than I do. When it was in San Jose, whatever year it was in San Jose.
Yeah, I didn't make San Jose. That was the year after, I think, Vegas or maybe Minneapolis.
Right. And of course you didn't make San Jose because I was there. Because had I not gone to San Jose, you would have been there. Because that's just how shit works.
Well, see, the problem is I did not know the way to San Jose.
We'll give you a cowbell there, Bob.
Thank you.
Hey, Bob.
Yes,
I have exciting news. Remember that wonderful, amazing recommendation that you wrote for me for EOP?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I got in.
Yay! Wonderful.
So, thank you. Thank you. I just got the email yesterday I had to send in my proof of lack of income and stuff. But I am beyond over, you know, and I have to say I've been kind of on the asses. It's like, you know, because typically EOP on the JC level, you don't have to. They let, if you meet certain, socioeconomic background, then you pretty much automatically get in. But at CSUN, not only you have to meet that criteria, but you also have to have an interview. You have to have, Bob and one of my instructors sent in amazing letters of recommendation. I'm like, really, y'all? Okay, y'all. You like me. You really, really like me. But thank you.
Yes, Sally. Yes, we do.
Now, Karen.
I'm curious, Tracy. In your travels, have you run across any of these COVIDiots who are militant anti-maskers? Have you seen any?
No. Fortunately, I mean, and like I said, you know, I live in Encino, and by and large, the San Fernando Valley, at least my part of the San Fernando Valley, these people got sense. I have yet to have anybody not have on a mask in the store. There's no question. Let me just put it this way. I have yet I have yet to walk into a store without somebody, you know, because I actually, the other day, I almost walked into the store without my mask on. I had it in my pocket. And this was a while ago. This is still, you know, and they were just like, hey, don't forget your mask. I'm like, oh, sure, no problem. Now, I have noticed there was this one, yeah, her name was Karen. And so, Karen, no. That's not the right voice for Karen. Karen. I had a Karen voice because Karen, there's Becca and then there's Karen. And so there's a
Kelly,
you know, and Karen speaks like this. How dare you, if, you know, speak to me in such a manner where I
want to speak to a manager right now.
I need to speak to a manager right now, you know, cause there's the undertones of Valley Girl. Because she grew up, you know, in the valley or what have you, but she's toned down some of that. So there, you know, depending on how upset she gets, if she goes into Valley Girl, but for the most part, she speaks like this. It's kind of a, what's her name from Gilligan Island? What was the
reason? Ginger.
No,
the howl.
Lovey howl.
Love.
You know, and so she walks into the store. Now, a few weeks back, they were no longer allowing people to bring their own grocery bags in the store. But they were still charging for bags. But then people started complaining, myself being one of them, like, wait, you're telling us that we can't bring our bags in, but then you're going to charge me for bags? Because, you know, but this woman walks in, you know, she had on her mask, so she did comply with the mask, but she walks right in with her grocery bags. And the clerk was like, this bitch is too much for me, so I'm just not going to fuck with this. But that's the only infraction that I have seen. Was somebody walking in with their own grocery bags. Where's Scott? Is he okay?
Not in this evening.
I haven't heard Scott yet.
I talked to him earlier this week.
He called in this week, didn't he, Bob?
Okay. Because isn't he usually on Friday on the front porch?
He wanders in sometimes, but he also keeps really weird His days and nights seem kind of bass-ackward sometimes based on what he said, so he may still be asleep.
Oh, okay.
Let's just hope the squirrels didn't get to him, you know?
Yeah, no
Very
sure.
dangerous people, suckers.
What about squirrels? Wait a minute. Okay. What did I miss about the squirrels?
He's got some squirrels outside of his apartment complex he feeds, and they can get very aggressive and grabby, kind of like maggots.
I heard two things the other day, nuttier than squirrel shit.
Oh, I like that. I'm going to use that. I'm feeling that.
And here's another one that my friend told me, higher than giraffe pussy.
Ooh, that's really good.
That's one for Joey.
Giraffe.
Yes, Joffrey. Giraffe.
But Giraffe, unless he's you know, he's transgender and had the surgery, he should not be, you know.
Yeah, that's true. I guess it is a male giraffe. I guess it's a male bonding thing between him and Giraffe.
So, ahead, I have a TV series from Netflix, and it's only white people because it's German. And it's called Dark. And the
I think that's on the list of the shows. What is it about?
It's these kids start disappearing, and maybe that's all I really need to say about it. But it's German, but it's over. It's English, you know. Overdub. Yeah. And it's slightly better than the old Japanese overdub. It's kind of annoying, but it's fine. You know, and the way they do it, I mean, it's fine. But the story's very, very interesting. It's got a little bit of Fringe in it, I would say. It's time. It has to do with time. flexibility of time.
Oh, by the way, Tracy, you just got a note in from Lady B. Tracy, though, nailing the Karen voice. California Karens are a bit more measured because it's warm there and you have some of the best vineyards in the world. But yeah, the patronizing and condescending tone, the exasperation, all of it. A plus, Tracy. P.S. Tell Scott not to let the squirrels, wait for it, drive him nuts.
I have a suggestion.
It's going to be warm here next week. We got a weather alert today. It's going to be 105 by Thursday.
Oh, yeah, it's going to be nasty hot next week.
Oh, my God. I wonder if it's going to be like that here in Portland, too. We usually get it here when you guys get it, but not quite as bad. Maybe 5, 10 degrees.
Well, it's still May, though.
Well, yeah. not for much longer.
Oh, so they'll be smollicking and larping and tossling all over the beaches.
That's yep. Right.
So I just posted in the chat the 20 undersung crime shows to binge. So you know, being a student has its privileges about discounts. So I basically got a 4-year subscription to the Atlantic magazine for like, I think $10 or something like that. Ridiculous. I have been so into this magazine. It's amazing. I also got a discount on my Apple Music. So instead of paying, like $10 a month for, I now only pay like $5 a month for it. And so, yeah, being a student does have its, you know, its privileges. Unfortunately, the school shut down before I could get my ID. But I think from what I understand, certain offices are going to be open, like admissions and records, because there's only so much you can do online, you know. I'm not sure how they're going to do about, you know, but the classes, except for, you know, performing art classes and, labs and stuff, you know, those classes they're going to have on campus, because you can't, you know, unless you have the equipment to set up and do dancing in your apartment, you know, you have to be there.
Mixing chemicals in chemistry, right? Can't really do that.
You cannot do that. You know, and I'm wondering, did you hear about one? I think it was a CSUN student who, because you know, some face masks or, you know, at least in Los Angeles, mandatory when you go in and out of buildings, of public spaces. So somebody invented a face mask for deaf people so they can, you know, read lips. Who thought about that? Who, you know, the things that us people who are, you know, who are not hearing impaired or anything, you know, if you're a deaf
person. Why would a face mask hurt somebody from reading lips?
If you're trying to read somebody's lips, if they have on a face mask, how are you going to?
If
you don't know sign language, yeah. And if you don't know sign language or what have you, or if you rely on, you know, reading lips and sign language, you know. So
I don't think that's going to stop much of your particles coming out of your mouth.
It's clear. No, the mask is clear.
Oh, it's a transparent. Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
There you go. Mm-hmm. Who would expect that, right?
That's what I'm saying, because there's things when us people who don't have, you know, certain impairments, we mm-hmm. don't think about. And what happens that CSUN, Pierce College and CSUN, Pierce College is a JC out in the West Valley.
Yeah,
it's one of the leading schools for American Sign Language. As a matter of fact, at CSUN, they have an entire department on you could get, you know, a degree in deaf studies at CSUN, as a matter of fact. They have what it is. I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, we've had all these, the sign language interpreters during all of our briefings, you know, from the mayor to the governor, the county health. I wouldn't be surprised if those people were not graduates of the CSUN program.
Mm. That's great. That's great. Yeah. You know,
another mask I've seen, this was developed by apparently the Israelis. It allows you to eat and not have to take your mask off between bites. Basically, you open, there's like a button, you hold it in your hand. Whenever you want to open up the mask, it opens up a little mouthpiece to stick your food, and then you shot it after your food is in there, then you chew it. So at least, you know, you can go to a restaurant without constantly taking your mask on and off while you eat, which is kind of handy, you know? Obviously, it's going to, you know, it's still going to allow some stuff. It's called Pac-Man mask.
Oh.
Ah! Okay.
Yeah, look it up. It's a real deal.
Well, because, you know, I mean, it's just, I'm still, I don't know if you guys, because I sent you an email last week, Bob, about, you know, them opening up the restaurants in Norco. I don't know if you talked about that at all. We're not up in Norco, down in Norco. And I became unhinged when I saw that. I think I even did the clap back in my email. I guess it was the owner of the restaurant, because they, you know, they had the news report, and the idiots were in there, you know, grinning and waiting for their pancakes. Because I have to say, I've been to the Original Pancake House, and their pancakes are fucking amazing.
Oh yeah, okay? and that's a chain. I mean, but that, you know, they're round about various places. I've been there to one in Birmingham and one in Atlanta, in the right. DC area. Yeah, you ever had what's it called? The Dutch Baby?
Yeah, it's a German pancake. And it's
huge.
Huge, about 12 people, a family of 12.
Yeah, and it's almost more like a souffle.
Yes. But, they're all in there, you know, no mask, you know. The waiters and waitresses had on masks, but the patrons didn't. And she's like, well, you know, we have the American flag on tables. So, you know, those are the tables you're not supposed to be sitting at. And so, but we're just so happy that, you know, we're opening.
You're on a Valley Girl roll this evening.
Yeah, we're just so happy that we're open because our community really needs, you know, to get out and stuff like that. And so when I'm looking at the tables with the flags on them, it just came to, I'm hearing you talk about the churchgoers. Honey, I bathe in the blood of Jesus, so I protect it. And so I have now, I guess the American flag, you know, like the orange is the new black. So now the American flag is the new bathe in the blood of Jesus to protect, you know, so you're going to be swaddled. So this, like, are you swaddled in the American flag? And that is now the new, you know, so that's the protector from the COVID, the fucking American flag. Come give me
your flag decal. Won't save you from the virus anymore. Yeah, that's it.
Check out that picture I posted in the chat of Denny Hamlin when he won the NASCAR race the other night. His mask.
Is that the guy with the FedEx shirt on?
Yeah. Look at his mask.
Wow.
Turn off your camera. The guy just joined.
Yeah, you can turn off your camera.
Okay. Sure.
Good deal.
That
looks
kind of creepy.
Well, it's smile.
that's so bizarrely creepy, but okay. It works.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, can I throw out a topic for the group, mail-in voting, right?
Yeah, stand by just a second. Yeah, I just want to jump in because I got another note from Lady B here. Speaking of church burnings, I myself think it was a bit of creative arson, but then again, who knows? Talking about Holly Springs, Mississippi, I mean, really, what pastor would actually burn down his own church? I don't know, a pastor who wasn't able to make the mortgage payment, but the insurance was still in effect. I mean, that's just me. Anyway, Holly Springs, Mississippi. Good. Holly Springs, Mississippi, I'm very familiar with there. That's where my college is or was. Unfortunately, over the years, they just kept losing money. And honestly, I believe this pandemic will shut them down for good. But I remember taking trips up to Memphis. It's literally like 33 miles away or so. I actually wonder if the town and city haven't already met at this point. It's been 30 years since I've been there. But yeah, I've been thinking a lot about the masks. I've been very fortunate. The people in the stores that I purposely choose to go to seem to be taking the masks seriously. There are a couple of chuckle fucks who don't want to be bothered, but the stores I went to today were relatively clear of those people. It's almost like a peer pressure issue now. If you're not wearing a mask, people look at you funny. Now the stores in the poor areas, yeah, they're behaving the same fucked up way. I've said this before, Bob, and I'll say it again. Treat yourself like a rich person. Spend the extra money to shop at stores where the people are properly masked and even wearing gloves. Treat yourself like a rich person. The rich are not going to die of this, Bob. Just the rest of us. And P.S., someone mentioned worshiping stone statues. Reminded me of Sting's song, All This Time. I love that song. Romans built this place. One of the young men at work had been wearing a dirty mask for 3 weeks. He didn't know he was supposed to wash them. Also, my fucking boss thinks the virus is similar to HIV. I told her it was not. Then we all agreed to just wear our masks and do our fucking jobs. We desperately need good leadership at the top, says Lady B, and she is correct. Instead, we've got what we've got. So, I just wanted to make sure we got that in there.
Hey, Chris, what were you going to say, bro?
Yeah, go, Chris.
Well, so mail-in voting, right? So, COVID Caligula's on his high horse about how evil it is, and, everybody's going to cheat, and all the Mexicans are going to vote, and blah, 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 right? And we all know that as voter participation rises, the chance of Democrats winning elections goes up, right? And the chance for Republicans goes down. But do you think there's something more nefarious in the works as far as working with the Russians to hack the voting machines, if you want to even call them voting machines, Diebold or whoever makes those damn things? What's everybody's thought on that? Anybody?
Sure, why not? I mean, they're all hackable.
We know that. There was a teenager that it took him less than a minute to hack it and change a vote, right?
Yeah.
Right. Well, I mean, like you said, the only way Republicans win is when they cheat or when they keep people from voting. Because, again, and that's what one of the arguments that I get into with my Trump-supporting brother-in-law when I do decide to speak to his ass. It's like...
It's getting harder, isn't it, Tracy?
It's getting harder and harder. And so it's like if Republican policies were so fucking amazing, then why the fuck do you guys do? Why do the fuck do they do everything in their power to keep people from getting to the ballot box? Because if your policies are so great, then you wouldn't have to worry about everybody would be voting for you, right?
Right, and there's a fundamental truth in the background of all of this, and that is, if everybody votes, Republicans never win another race. Nationally.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, everybody in the state of California is getting a mail-in ballot coming November.
Oh, and by the way, where masks are concerned, I just got a note from Matt in San Francisco. Matt works in retail. And he said, I have to tell people to put on a mask. It's usually only a handful a day. I simply let them know I'm happy to help them once they put on a mask. The other day, a woman said, it's a free country. That was a Becky, I'm sure. I said, it certainly is. You either wear a mask in this store or you're free to shop somewhere else. There's your freedom. She pulled the mask out of her purse and put it on. It's a thing, Matt says. People are trying to make a political statement. To me, no mask is the equivalent of a MAGA hat.
That part.
Yep.
Yeah. The next civil war is not going to be the blue versus the gray. It's going to be the mask versus the maskless.
Yeah, but by God, any of these maggots get hurt, car wreck, whatever, have to be operated on. Maybe one way to approach a teaching moment is to say, hey, so if you have to have an operation, you're going to be just fine with the surgeon standing over your opened body, dribbling and spewing into it the whole time she's working, right? You're good with that? Yeah.
And eating Junior Mints, right?
Oh, absolutely. Got it. Yeah. All or I don't know, those little eating those little really, really flaky, crispy peanut butter cheese crackers.
Or just Cheetos, period, and making sure you get the orange fingers.
Yep. Hey, I tell you what, those new allegedly all natural Cheetos, the white cheddar ones.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they're pretty special.
Are they really?
Oh yeah, they're real good.
I haven't seen those yet, but yeah, still, because I have to say I have been stuck on stupid this week with my eating, and so because I've been stressed. But so you know how I've been, you know, doing unpaid product placement for Omaha Steaks. Yo, Bob. Bob, they have chicken fried steak.
Oh, yummy.
And why come it passes the Black People seasoning test?
Now what?
The Black People seasoning, in other words,
yeah.
There's I can actually taste seasoning. There's a couple of things that we ordered that I'm like, y'all don't know what salt is? But on the chicken fried steak, yeah, that's not the issue.
They got it right.
That's what we have. Yes. Yes. Oh, my God. And they're crispy. Oh, my God. It was just.
Chicken fried steak and homemade mashed potatoes. You know, get out of my way.
And homemade mashed potatoes.
Yeah, get out of my way.
Just. So, Jan, you know, she ordered some more chicken fried steak. And I'm like, sweet baby, please stop ordering this shit because I'm going to keep eating it. But, I have to say, of course, they're, you know, a little bit more expensive than the grocery store. But for years, has anybody else ever ordered anything from Omaha Steaks?
I did a long time ago. My dad said he was very disappointed. I got it for him for his birthday, and he actually said he was disappointed in it.
Well, this
time, so I had to call back.
And this is the first because you know there was a run on beef and all this other stuff a few weeks ago. But so we ordered, and I have to say, we had filet spring rolls, which were rather special. But the filet steaks were just, I'm telling you guys, it was the best, most special one. And again, I'm not a beef person. You know, I've never really been it. I don't ever have to eat beef ever again. But every so often, some charred meat. Yeah.
Well, I tell you what, Agnes was tickled yesterday because the little cafe over across the river finally had what they call their soul rolls again. And oh my heavenly!
Oh, the soul rolls.
Yeah. Oversized egg roll wrapper. Stuffed with black-eyed peas, collard greens, rice, and chicken, and deep fried.
Ooh! Wow!
And they serve and they serve it with a tangy homemade Dr. Pepper barbecue sauce. And Agnes was
that sounds
very
terrific,
happy.
Bob.
Oh, they're crazy good. And I've never heard of anything like them, but the chef there comes out of New Orleans via South Carolina, and fantastic. And by the way, Kaneka is now flying off the shelves at the local Wiggling Pig. I'm proud of that. The only grocery store.
I told you.
The only grocery store in the state of West Virginia where you can buy Kaneka sausage.
They give you a free package since
oh no, I'm not
so much money off of it.
No, I'm not that special. I'm just proud to have accomplished it.
Can I ask Steve and Georgia Stan a question?
Oh, please.
Steve, how are the latest polls looking? For the presidential election in Georgia. You know.
He's muted, so I don't know.
Well, he unmuted. I thought, Steve, you there?
Yeah, I'm here, brother. I'm sorry. I had the internal mute button on my headset. Let me do a deep dive on that. Are you going to hang out for a bit on the After Porch show, and I can give you a more concise answer?
Yep,
all right.
I got nothing
well,
going
okay,
on.
There's a second question goes with that. Is Kelly, Steve, is Kelly Loeffler still deep back behind Doug Mouthful of Collards Collins in the Senate race?
You know, I've kind of got mixed feelings about that. It's like choose the lesser of the two evil devils, you know. But she, whoever wins, is going to be running against, what's the guy's name, Ossoff, that just from Newt, that went up against Newt Gingrich's district.
Yeah, barely lost.
Yeah. So I didn't know how to strategically play that at all. You know, I try not to jump lines. You know, I don't think that it's dirty pool, but a lot of people do it with open primaries. But I didn't this time around. I threw everything behind Ossoff or however you
say it. Ossoff, right?
Ossoff.
Yep. He seems like a good guy, you know. I worked my ass off. Yeah, comparatively speaking, compared to Collins or that other crook, Lady Crook.
Yeah, what's up with her? How is she squiggling away through this whole stock insider trading deal? It sounds like she's just flown right under the radar. Nobody's paying attention to her.
She has came out with some lame excuses, Chris, that really don't pass the smell test for me, but for Mitch and the gang, I guess it's okay. The only one they're really throwing under the bus is, and help me out, Bob, I can't
Richard
think of
Burr.
His name.
Barr.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, Burr. Him. Yeah, yeah. They're not really throwing him out of the bus. They just kicked him off a committee.
Yeah, they took away his chairmanship.
Yep.
Things are not looking too good for Martha McSally in Arizona.
No, apparently, apparently, Clorox Claudius was pissing and moaning to Mitch McConnell about her. Beautiful thing.
That makes me happy.
I think Captain Kelly's ahead of her by like 10 points or something.
What's the latest on Susan Collins?
Well, among other things, she bent down and puckered up and planted a kiss where the sun doesn't shine on Trump, and voted in favor of Dan Ratcliffe. Remember the guy who wasn't competent the first time around? Well, he's competent now, so he's in charge. She voted in favor of his confirmation, and he's in charge of every intelligence agency in the United States now.
The unintelligent agency.
Yes.
And, all right, and, Chris, I can give you an answer now. I'm sorry, Bob.
Go right ahead, Steve.
Go ahead.
No.
Yeah. I just wanted to answer. I didn't mean to step on you, man. I apologize. But I wanted to give Chris an answer before the show runs out. According to the latest poll that came out May the 18th, Biden's ahead by 1 point, according to 538. So consider the source who got it horribly wrong.
Yes, they did.
You know, when Trump stole the damn thing.
Well, that's good. It's in play. I think there's a lot more purple going on. It sure looks that way.
God, wouldn't that be delightful? And you know, things are not good in Texas either. Hey, Steve.
It's correct.
Hey, Steve.
Texas is getting purplier too.
Give Steve from North the floor.
Yeah, I just want to say something real quick about Steve just mentioned 538. Actually, 538 and all those statistical places basically got it right. You just have to look at just look at what they did. The problem is those statistical things, there's margins of error.
Right. If you hang your hat on it, you're setting yourself up for heartache too.
But the other thing too is that when you have the Electoral College, that, you know,
right.
I mean, remember in terms of votes, Hillary won.
Absolutely. 5 million, wasn't it?
Yeah. 3 million. But you know, anyway, but I wanted to just give Tracy a really good, reading suggestion. I don't know if anybody's ever read any, James Baldwin, but one of my favorite authors. Have you ever read The Fire Next Time?
Yep.
That's probably my favorite
even it's not a story, it's more just an essay. But I, you know, that was probably my the favorite thing I read of his. I liked Another Country a lot, but I liked The Fire Next Time a lot. And I think he personifies a lot of the stuff you were talking about. Because I think, you know, and I will admit, well, let me step back a second. I was at a point in my life, I thought, well, you know, I thought most black people hated America. Yeah, I know. But I remember my ex, his mom and I were talking one time. And she says to me, she says, you know, I love this country. I just don't like the shit that it does. And that really was an eye opener for me. That was a long time ago. One of the things, I was talking to a friend of mine about this, and he said that he had, I don't know who told him this, that I know who it was. It was my friend's family's from Ireland, and he had a cousin from Ireland say that he thought black Americans were among the most forgiving people in the world because of, you know, to have what's gone on for 400 years and still basically be here and say, you know, I'm not leaving. And I've come to agree with that. And I'll tell you, I've had these, you know, conversations with myself. And one of those conversations has been, if I were a black man in this country, I'd be dead. I couldn't survive because, I mean, I get angry at shit now, but I would be so angry at what constantly goes on. And I remember what really got the latest thing, obviously, was the Ahmed Aubrey thing. And I thought to myself, am I still on? Hello?
Yeah, you're good.
Yeah, Steve, okay. We can hear you. Okay. We're listening. Yeah.
Okay. When I saw what that happened, and I heard Tracy in my mind, and I thought, how in the hell? I mean, how, and I'll ask Tracy this question, and I'm not asking her to speak for all black people right now. I'm just asking what she thinks.
No, that's her job.
Particularly as a black mother. Well, particularly as a mother with a black son. I don't know how you do it. Is she there, by the way? Well, I don't think she's in the room anymore, is she?
Oh, she left?
Oh, no, she's there. She's there. She's just muted.
Okay. I have a hard time containing my anger when I see stuff like that, and I'm not directly in.
I didn't realize I was muted.
I don't know how you do it.
Because, again, I'm going to speak to this, and I hope Lady B is listening as well. We remember when Barack Obama was elected and Michelle Obama said, for the first time, I love my, you know, something, and she got excoriated. Right.
Oh, she got pilloried for that comment.
You know, I love this country.
For the first time in my adult life, I'm proud of this country or something like that.
Yeah. Right. And so, and back to James Baldwin, there's two of my favorite quotes from him. To be a Negro in this country and to be relatively conscious is to be in a rage almost all the time.
Hey, we lost you, Tracy. Oh.
Can you hear me? What happened?
Yeah, you're there.
Skype.
I got Skype. So there's two quotes from James Baldwin that I actually have a t-shirt that says one of them, but to be a Negro in this country and to be relatively conscious is to be in a rage almost all the time. That's one quote. Second one,
I love America more than any country in this world. And exactly for this reason, I insist on the right to criticize her perpetually.
Mm-hmm. When I brought him up, I was going to go there. I had a senior moment. I went off but that's the one thing that always struck me about him is he had this, I always thought it was so strange. You know, he lived in France for a while. And as I recall, and tell me if I'm wrong here, when he came back, he spent time, many, many years there. And he remarked how much better he was treated there, but he couldn't escape the fact that he was American.
Right.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah. No. And I noticed the same thing when I went to Europe and France for the first time and the only time, unfortunately, at this point.
Mm-hmm.
And the way they didn't know where I was from until I spoke. And then they're like, oh my God, you're an American. You know, they didn't see me other than just another human being. They didn't, I mean, of course there's issues with, you know, racism in England and in France, but it's to the degree that it is here, it's a whole different matter. And like when black people from Africa and Jamaica, you know, and islands come here and they're like, for the first time in my life, I now know what it feels like to be black because they've come from other countries and they've come to America. Because there's a concept that people who were not raised here, that they don't understand the boogeyman of what supremacy is in this country, how white supremacy is built in the DNA of this country. And so when you've never been called nigger with hate and a loathing, and you don't even realize just how hateful and ugly that word is until somebody white says that to you to demean you and to take away your, you know, in hopes of taking away your humanity. You don't know. And
to make you an animal, that's what it is.
To make you less than human. And so,
yeah, less than human.
And so, because the way, in order for you, they have to make you less than human so they can justify treating you less than human. Because if you, mm-hmm. if you're not human, then they can cage you in jail. Then if you're not human, they don't have to make sure that you're provided a decent education. They don't have to make sure you have access to health.
They can do with your body as they see fit.
As they see fit.
As Sally Hemings
learned. They can let you perish from COVID. Yeah, they can let you perish from COVID without a second thought.
It's not even a second thought. It's not even a thought. Because they can let you call 911 during Katrina and say, you're not going to send any help. Because you're not human. You're less than. So they
and Tracy, people, do you remember on Bill Maher when they were showing the photographs of, you know, black people carrying their goods and through the water?
Looting versus foraging?
Yeah. Correct.
Well, Lady B did chime in. She said a 90-year-old black grandmother lay atop her grandson's body after he laid on the ground after police pulled him over in front of her house. He drove there after supposedly running a red light. He thought he'd be safer there than he was. If he was my son or grandson or nephew, I'd have done the same thing. Lady B says, we tolerate, we persevere. It's always been this way. And as a fifth-generation American, I dare someone to challenge my American status. No shit.
I triple-dog-dale you. Exactly.
Yeah.
How dare you? Especially when it's like when people come from other countries and, you know, immigrate here, and it's like they get the playbook on how to treat us. You know, again, I'm sixth generation as far as I know can go back, but I know we go back further.
it's because, you know, we can't really trace our, you know, our genealogy because, I don't know, slavery. And seeing that, you know, our we don't have the kind of records that most, you know, other folks have about our ancestry, you know, it's a hit and miss. So, you know, when people challenge my, you know, to tell me to go back where I came from, I'm what, you mean Springfield, Missouri, or Shreveport, Louisiana, or Pine Bluff, Arkansas, or Oklahoma, you know, so that's where I, my folks, that's where I'm from. What about you? You know, because I can't trace the folks back to Africa because y'all make sure that I couldn't because you stole my their culture, you stole their names, you stole their language. So how am I supposed to trace? You know, I can't. I said at least Barack, if he wants to, he can go back to his father's village. You know,
but I did right.
Right. You know, so he can go back and he knows what part of Africa his folks are from. I don't. You know, and they can give me an idea of what part of Africa because of my DNA, but I will never know what village, you know, my people were stolen from.
That's well, can I just want to say this, that no segment of the American population has fought more valiantly or tenaciously in any of our wars than Black Americans. Nobody.
And then to come home to be lynched in their uniform.
Yeah.
Because how dare you wear this uniform?
Well, y'all, we've run a little bit over, but I'm going to wrap up. The conversation can, of course, continue to take place offline. It's just the broadcast is going to close. I want to thank everybody for the community-made miracle. And most recently, I want to thank Otto and Steve for jumping in. We're actually $70 away from being done with Monday, which is huge. And if we knock out Monday, then maybe we can have some fundraising free radio to end the week if we keep this up. So thanks, everybody. Thanks to all of you. Thanks to everybody for jumping in on the front porch conversation. I just had a late breaking note from Lady B. She said, I'd call and do a rap battle with Tracy. We'd just spit the truth all day. But y'all have a good weekend. Thank you, Lady B. And that would be something for the ages. Thanks to all of you who share your precious finite time engaging in the program in whatever manner you so choose. Thanks to our all-volunteer staff. Thanks to Steve and Sparky in the chat room. Thank you to Sparky for manning the lightsaber in the old holler tree we sublet from the Keebler Elves. Thanks to our news ninjas. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa, headon.live. Thank you, John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, whiterosesociety.org. Thanks to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net, 20 plus years at the forefront of the struggle for human rights and environmental justice in Appalachia. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Stay safe, stay home, especially this holiday weekend. People are going to be going nuts. Wash your hands, wear your masks, don't touch your face. And for the love of God, if you see anybody without a mask or wearing a red hat or a Trump shirt or anything like that coming towards you, get away from them. Avoid them like the plague because they are. Later, y'all. Have a great weekend.